This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring...
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave...
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy, Dre, Biggie, Huffman.
And Andy. And Andy?
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they going to sing it again? Shebang, shebop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, Gary. Another a redo of the old Robert Goulet opening. Always makes me laugh. All right, we're here at PFW in Progress, and it's Wednesday at Gillette Stadium, which means it is media day, more importantly, free pizza day for the media. That's why they all come, really. But Bill Belichick had his press conference today. Tom Brady spoke at his locker. A little later in the day, I guess Tony Romo and Wade Phillips will be calling in, and we'll have that audio up for you on Patriots.com for your listening pleasure. But right now... it's time to talk Patriots for the next couple hours. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We're getting ready for Dallas. It was a, I'd say, big media contingency here today. ESPN was all over the place. They had three
cameras.
There
was like 17 people from ESPN here today.
What's going on? This isn't even an ESPN game.
Well, they had the main event. They had... Michael Smith, and they had the normal crew of Wendy Nix, and but they all travel with like a cameraman, a sound man, a producer, the on-air person. Each little group is like four people, five people.
So if there's that many people here, how many are in Dallas?
That many. Well, not the main event, but is not on. Cannot hear you.
It's on, but I don't hear my. Oh, there we go.
Gary.
I saw a couple of reports already. They have the people in Dallas, too. You know, Ed Werder, I think, is based in Dallas. He's generally
right.
With the Cowboys. I saw a report last night on SportsCenter. They were cutting it from both angles. Wendy Nix was here talking about it. So, yeah, I think it's a bit, I think they're looking at it as a big game, two 5-0 teams. First time that's happened since 04. You know, so it's been a couple of years since two teams have been this far into the season undefeated.
That's kind of amazing. Like, it doesn't really seem like that big of a deal to me.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, wow, that would be pretty neat if the Colts and the Patriots are both 8-0.
Right.
You know, that's, you know,
well,
halfway through.
I was talking with Albert Breer today, who recently...
Actually, you were listening.
Who left,
I saw him talking a lot.
Left the New England media for the Dallas media, and he says...
Boring.
Ever since the Bears game down there, that's all they've been talking about is this game coming up. You know, so this is big.
When was the Bears game?
I don't know, 3 weeks ago? Week two. So everybody's in Dallas. This is the game that they've circled.
Should be. It's a bigger deal from them.
Yeah.
They win this game. They establish themselves as one of the best.
So we're the Yankees teams. And they're the Red Sox?
Well, I think it's a little different in that it's the AFC-NFC thing. It's a conference thing.
Right.
That's what makes it bigger for them.
You missed that one. That was a blatant attempt there. You fell into it.
No, I just ignore his idiocy. I don't get caught up in it like you do.
You didn't ignore that one.
You yell at him. I left at 4:30, but I was still in my car.
You didn't ignore it. You fell into the trap.
Anyway, no, but this is a big game for the Cowboys. It should be. They're playing the best team in the league, and it's a good measuring stick for them.
Right.
Less so for the Patriots. Obviously, if the Patriots lose this game, it's going to be because people are going to say because they didn't play up to their standards. Is that correct?
Right.
Either that or the refs will have somehow robbed them.
Oh. What does that mean, Paul?
Yeah,
making fun
of
Patriots fans
of
again.
Right now.
Making fun of Patriots fans again.
All
right.
Well, first of all, you have a lot of explaining to do to these said Patriots fans that he's making fun of. You are their leader, and you're picking the Cowboys.
I
That's an issue.
Look, I said that the Patriots are going to be 14-2 this year. I have to pick against them twice.
No, you don't. You can be wrong twice.
No, I'm also going to be 14-2 in my picking. So I have to.
Well, you're going to be wrong this week, so you're not going to be 14-2. You're going to have another loss.
That's okay. I'll be 14-2. That'll be my first loss.
Actually, you.
All right. You keep falling back on this whole. I picked them to be 14-2. We kind of let you go.
No,
yesterday.
But I also picked them. I also made this pick before I saw the Monday night game.
But you're sticking with it.
And I am sticking with it. And
truth be told, you're right about that, because the Monday night game has nothing to do with this game.
Irrelevant.
Right.
At all. If they went out and won 50-0, would you say, oh, geez, now they're really going to win? No.
No.
That's stupid. If you thought they were going to win, you thought they were going to win.
So I'm sticking with it.
You don't, but that's okay.
And it's just one of those games. I mean, any game that the Patriots lose this year will be because, you know, they didn't play as well as they should, because we all think that they're the best team. I think they're going to lose. I think this is a game that they can very easily lose if, you know, the couple things don't go their way. I think Dallas is not as good as the Patriots, but I don't think there's that much of a separation that if Tom Brady has an off day or...
Well, I agree with, but I actually think Dallas could beat them. I don't think they will, but I think Dallas has the talent on both sides of the ball to come out and play their best game and beat the Patriots. I don't think Tom Brady has to throw three picks or have to give it away. I think the Patriots could lose this game to the Cowboys because I think they have talent. I think they're a pretty diverse team that has talent, offense, defense, throw, run, do a variety of things well. I think they could be beaten. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think Dallas has enough talent to play in the same game.
But you think they're going to go 16-0, so you don't think it's going to happen at all to any team this year.
Right, but that's what I was going to get at, is you keep saying, well, I picked them to go 14-2, so I have to pick them to lose two games. Well, I picked them to go 12-4, but you can bet that unless something drastically changes between now and the end of the year, I'm not picking them to lose four times.
Which also bothers me. I've been seeing that a lot in baseball, where I see these national guys say,
it's a
I picked the Red Sox in March, so I'm going to stick with it. I feel stupid when I say that on PFW in Progress on Thursday in the second hour, and I go, well, I picked the Panthers to win the Super Bowl, so I'm going to go with them here because I need a win.
Right.
I'm an idiot on web radio. Why are you on the worldwide leader of sports? Break down the game for me and tell me who you think is better. Are the Red Sox still better? Because I know you. It doesn't matter if you thought they were better 7 months ago.
Yeah.
It matters who's better now.
I agree. It's a total crutch.
It's stupid.
It bothers me.
I think sometimes you just have to go with your gut. And this is what I'm doing here. You know, this is what I'm doing here.
That's fine.
Okay.
I think it, you're going with your head and your heart and little mind games, and I don't exactly know the whole scenario.
I do as well,
but
you know, I got to take him at face value.
Mind
games? He said he's going with
his guy. Who am I playing mind games
yourself.
With? I'm playing mind games with myself?
Yes. Do you think you have this weird influence? And I don't even know. But there's a lot that goes on in that beady little head of yours.
Beady little head?
Yeah.
Well, compared to yours.
I was going
to
say, Fred,
everything's little. I mean,
all right. That's right. When you compare to me, everything is little.
Oh.
The amazing
shrinking man over there. Our show should make Cox bigger.
That's true.
So, that was one of your classics.
Big turnout. Kenny Mayne there. First question of the press conference. Do you think number 12 will play with the right shoulder?
And Bill goes, you mean Brady?
Obviously doing one of his main events.
Right. But he didn't play along, Belichick.
But in not playing along, I'm sure he played along, because when they wrote the script for the whole thing, I'm guessing they didn't think Bill was going to play along. So.
But what are they – I mean, then his last question of the press conference was also Kenny Mayne. What's the origin of the sweatshirt? So what is the main event this year?
It's Brady. I don't know how that
sweatshirt thing fits in. Main event this week is Brady's shoulder.
Is it?
He went up to Tom, and he goes, hey, and they shake hands, and Brady grimaces and kind of clutches his right shoulder, and they have light saying he's a slow healer. It's all scripted. They hand the players the script. They shoot multiple takes like a movie.
Right.
I think it's terrible. Now that I've seen more of it, I don't like it.
Now, do you get resentful?
No Andy Hart stamp of approval on that one, Fred.
Covering, you know, being a person who covers the team every day, every year, do you get resentful when a guy like a Kenny Mayne can walk right in and get that kind of access?
No, because I enjoyed it today when Randy Moss said no, 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 looked, read the script, and then said no again.
Randy Moss, who
earned
I've
big
already,
points with me.
Yeah, we've already been wowed by, you know, to an unbelievable degree, went up another couple of notches for me and Andy. And he wasn't rude about it. He shook Kenny Mayne's hand and said hello. And
while walking briskly by him.
Never slowed down. But so many of these guys just stop and, like, fall over themselves when they see the ESPN guys.
Right.
And he didn't. And he earned a lot of points for me.
Good for him. Good for him.
And it doesn't bother
me. And it doesn't bother me if the guys do it either. I mean, because it's fun. I mean, you know, if you
want to
do it.
Well, it doesn't bother me in general. Like,
doesn't bother me either.
They're the faces you see on TV. We're the little schleps you see on the plane sitting next to Tom Casale. I mean, it is what it is. I'm okay with it.
Okay. How was open locker room? I didn't go into the locker room. You guys did.
Busy.
It was busy. Like you said, Fred, there were a lot of people here today. There was, you know, some more national people here in addition to ESPN. I don't know who they all were. I know Judy Batista was here from the New York Times. Look, it's a big game.
Wait a minute. Let's not surf past that. What was that?
She's done some very good articles on behalf of the Patriots.
That's not the face you just made.
Yes, it is.
I thought you were on board with me for
good.
A minute
you eat
there.
Your muffins. They're moist. Why, you like her?
She's done a little thing for her.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the dark-haired girl?
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
I cannot
whatsoever.
Explain it. I won't even try.
Wow.
And hopefully she's not listening right now.
Hey,
otherwise, she's
going to
take out a restraining order on Andy.
You eat your muffins. They're moist.
Especially if she keeps hearing sound bites like that dropped in.
Jeez. But anyway.
So she's on board. She's part of the regime.
Yeah. What else? So the locker room
That's not
was very,
an agenda, though.
The locker room was very, I'd say, upbeat last week, kind of loose.
Well, we don't find that out till later in the week.
No, that's
a
Friday
The early part of the week is always the same business. They're, you know.
That's generally a Friday judgment.
Ball washings or Bill Walshings to the opponents and going
Bill
overboard
Walshing.
There.
Bill Walshing. We should call it that from now on.
It's a Bill Walshing.
Instead of ball washing, Bill
should,
Walshing.
We should
Since
do that.
Ball washing is not appropriate.
Right. We should do that because that way it allows us to say it
right.
Without being so crude.
Okay. That was a real Bill Walsh.
So we'll go with that. I thought Bill went a little overboard on the Cowboys today.
Oh, wow.
They're a good team and all, but
wow,
Patriots have no chance based on Bill.
I mean, when he's talking about their defense and being that strong in the secondary.
Very excited to be a Dallas
right.
Cowboy.
Now he's going out of his way to say how good they are in the secondary.
And,
I mean,
Fred, as we know, Terrence Newman, who's the heart of that secondary, we listened to him yesterday, and he doesn't sound like they think they have a chance in
right.
hell of winning.
Well, I watched all the reports on ESPN last night, and to a man, they were all talking – they were saying exactly what the Patriots would say, except for T.O.
Right.
You know, T.O. was like, you know, we're pretty good, too. You know, they're not the only 5-0 team. We're 5-0. You know, he just.
Yeah, but they'll be the only 6-0 team.
Just doesn't get it.
Okay.
That's the report right there that I was talking about.
About T.O. with his checkered jacket.
And passed.
Well done.
Okay.
Freddie.
Yes.
Have you. We might have to buy a book. Or do you get advanced copies of books that you don't always pass down to us?
I sometimes. But
Sal
Paul
Palantonio's new book
about
the most overrated, underrated everything in the history of the NFL.
I haven't heard of it
because there's some. I haven't seen it, but there was a report that both T.O. and Moss are included in the most overrated wide receivers.
Really?
And then I also saw a thing that Tippett is included in most underrated linebackers.
That's nice.
So there's some Patriots connections there. And it's one of those things. It's just for argument.
Sure.
It's the whole. It actually, the title is, under it, it says, "Let the debate begin."
Right.
I don't like it because it's Sal Palantonio's report, and he's on the cover with a football, and I think he's a freaking egomaniac loser. But
he's
Andy doesn't make a lot of friends. That's why this Judy Batista thing is worth thinking about.
Well, Sal is a
douchebag.
Has been really upset with the Patriots over the last couple of years.
Mine doesn't care about that. It goes back to when he yelled at a kid in the Pittsburgh press box for whistling 5 hours before the game and said there's no whistling in the press box.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Guy's a CO.
Uh-oh.
I won't say the rest.
All right, well, let's talk.
CH? Coach? Like Al from Everett used to say?
Rhymes with rock. Ends the same way, too, in terms of spelling.
Let's talk about this game a little bit. What is there to talk about?
What is there
what
to talk
mean?
About? This is the
it's
best.
A great matchup with talent on both sides of the ball.
This is
on both
the best
teams.
Matchup of the year so far. I mean, the Colts game probably will surpass it in a few weeks, but right now, this is the
Not
best matchup
mind.
Of the season.
This is a better matchup than the Colts game. Cowboys have some talent on defense. I agree with Bill. The way that front seven was swarming to the ball, they look to make plays. I don't think the Patriots have faced a defense like that yet, and clearly they haven't faced an offense like that's playing as well as that.
I don't
putting
think the
up
Cowboys' defense is anywhere near as good as you think it is.
I didn't say good, but I think they have talent, which means they always have the chance to be good on any given day.
I don't know.
That's the
problem. I just don't know how much better that defense is than a lot of the other ones they faced.
What do you think of Romo after the game saying that the Bills' defense confused him?
I didn't hear him say that.
That's what he said that.
Nothing
I saw the post-game.
He couldn't throw the ball. He could
not
throw the ball where he wanted to put it.
And I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, that's what he...
Because I heard people on the radio around here saying, you know, you don't think Dean Pease will have fun, you know, drawing things up to confuse Romo? Confusion wasn't the problem. The problem was when the ball left his hand, didn't go where he wanted it to. He couldn't control the football. A couple of those picks were terrible. There was a couple throws just to T.O. where the ball sailed like 5 feet above his head. There's no chance to catch it. You know, the crown of the field got him. He couldn't throw the ball.
What do you attribute to? We laughed at the crown of the field because years ago when Brady played there the first time, he kind of mentioned that after the game as to what was one of his problems during the game. And, you know, we made a joke about that Monday night. But what do you think was the problem?
I think it was just one of those days. I think he's one of those guys. He's not going to be the perfectly consistent 16 games every week, the same guy. You know, it's the Brett Favre comparison. It's the gunslinger. What was the other word they were using on Monday Night Football? Swashbuckler, they called him.
Right.
I think
so
that's
maybe
part
a little
of
bit
his...
too confident?
No, I just think that's going to be part of his game. You know, live and die by that little bit of an edge that he's going to have as a playmaker. And he's not going to be Mr. Perfect.
Okay, so if you're Dean Pease and Bill Belichick, how do you defense Tony Romo? Is he a guy that you want him to stay on the spot rather than get out of the pocket?
He's so much better on the move. When those rollouts, he looks so comfortable.
So you never rush more than three or four guys.
And you're rushing from the outside to keep him in the middle of the field.
Yeah, you can rush whatever way you want to rush. You just have to make sure you stay in your lane, stay disciplined, keep him contained in the pocket. And I think the onus for on that falls on the outside guys. If it's Adalis Thomas rushing wide like he did a lot in Cincinnati early in the game, or whoever it is, Vrabel, Colvin, get up the field and don't slam down inside and allow him an avenue to get outside the pocket, because that's when he's at his best.
And you won't see a lot of blitzes up. You won't see a lot of brewskis up the middle trying to force him to the outside, because that's where he wants to be.
T.O., does he require the type of attention that the Bills paid Moss, or can you just, you know, handle him one-on-one?
No. He requires extra attention.
So you need to take him out of the game the same way the Bills took Moss out of the game?
The Browns you're talking about?
I mean the Browns.
Bill obviously didn't think that in Philadelphia. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with his injury status going into the game.
He had a great game, though.
No,
yeah.
I understand that. But he didn't go into that game obviously saying, we have to take him out of the game. Otherwise, Randall Gay wouldn't have covered him for as long as he did making those amount of plays. Now, maybe that was because of his injury status heading into that game. He didn't feel like that was really going to hurt him, because I got to tell you, if that was a healthy T.O. making some of those catches in the Super Bowl, they wouldn't have been 15-yard completions for first downs. They would have been touchdowns coming across the field. He couldn't run. That's probably not going to be the case this time. I would expect the Patriots to give a little bit more of attention to T.O. than they certainly did in Philadelphia.
So how good are these other guys, Creighton and Witten?
Bill just called Witten the best all-around tight end he's seen in some time.
He's a very good player.
Can the Patriots be exploited the way the Patriots exploited the Browns after they paid attention to Moss?
I'm not sold on Creighton as a consistent guy yet. I think he still needs to prove it. He has questionable hands too, sort of like T.O. So I don't know if he can kill you. I think there's games we've seen where he has big games. But I don't know if you count on that if you're the Cowboys.
I really liked Creighton, and I watched him. He was a really unheralded guy. And obviously, when Drew was playing there, Fred, I watched them a little bit when I got a chance. And I thought that he had some good he showed some signs of being a good young receiver. And he had that huge drop against Chicago that everybody remembers. But I think for the most part, he's been a solid number three receiver. Now, with Glenn out in the early going as he's coming back from his second arthroscopic surgery, he's been forced to be number two, and he's had some big games. Andy mentioned the 200-yard game he had against the Rams a couple of weeks ago. So I think if you just focus on
number
one guy,
two.
That's you're not going to just say, okay, we're going to limit T.O. to three catches for 45 yards, and we'll win this game. They're capable of getting the ball to Witten eight times. They're getting the ball to Creighton four or five times. You know, from there, I think it's a little bit less because, I'm not convinced like, Bill talked about Anthony Fasano today and
I
Sam
forgot all about him.
And Sam Hurd. I don't think those guys are going to hurt you. They may catch a pass or two here or there, but they're not going
to
hurt you.
The problem with T.O. is Garrett has been very over-the-top creative, trying to get him the ball, get him in different. They've lined him up in the backfield, in the slot, outside, motion, do some different things. So it's not as easy as, okay, he's over there. We're just going to roll our coverage and double him over there. And plus the way he runs, he is very willing to go over the middle of the field. There's a lot of damage in the middle of the field. So it puts a lot of onus, I think, on the linebackers and the secondary to all be on the same page if they are trying to take away T.O. and target him on occasion. And I just think sometimes you need guys to make plays. They're going to have to cover him.
They got that 1-2 punch of Julius Jones and Marion Barber as running back.
Were you not so sure what his last name was?
No, I was wondering if I should call him the Barbarian, like T.O. calls him.
I thought that was kind of funny. I'd never heard it before.
Is this the best running back game that they've played, the running game that they've faced this year, the Patriots?
Well,
no, San Diego would have to be that.
Right, but, I mean, they didn't do it. But, yeah, San Diego's better because LT's great and Michael Turner's pretty good.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, that's a team that, if you want to talk about the team running the ball, San Diego's got a very good offensive line, the best running back in football, and the Patriots were able to contain them. But I think that's the best running game they've faced so far. Just because San Diego struggled,
talent,
I can't. Yeah, just because San Diego struggled so much, I can't dismiss what the Patriots did that week.
Doesn't mean these guys couldn't put up 200 yards rushing on them. They have that capability.
And if that happens, that doesn't mean Well, you're wrong.
They're still not the best.
Yeah, they're still not better than San Diego when it comes to running the football. Just the Patriots would have done a better job against San Diego.
And like the Chargers, they have an impressive array of talent at the fullback position. You should like this, Fred.
God.
Deion Anderson, Oliver Hoyt. They got some talent there.
All right, let's go to the Cowboys defense. How good is it?
Are you tired?
I thought that they had a great game against the Bills. I thought if it wasn't for that defense, that game would have been a blowout.
I don't think much of the Bills' offense, so I don't know how great a performance it was. I think they have talent. I still don't think they've put it together. That's the difference, is playing good, consistent football. We heard Terrence Newman talking about how he was in so much pain early, had to go get some pain medication, was getting IVs at halftime or after the game. Apparently he was almost dead.
Right.
We all know what Tom thinks about Roy Williams, and you know, as we've kind of watched him over the years, you know, the outside guys, I think that Spencer, the rookie, pretty good. Ware is obviously very good, so it puts an onus on you if you're doubling Ware. Does it free up one of those other guys? You know, they got Canty and Spears. I mean, I think they have some talent up front, and James was a beast the other night. Brady James was just throwing his body around like a Bob Sanders reckless abandon type. I think they have talent, but that means they got to put it together.
Yeah, I like Ware a lot and James, and I like Terrence Newman in the back. I don't really like any of their other secondary guys. And Tom is talking a lot
Hello,
about...
Hello, Newman.
Tom's talked a lot about Anthony Henry missing this game, and I think that's important only because the backup is even worse. But I think Anthony Henry is an exploitable cornerback. I don't think he's very good. It just means that Jock Reeves, who will play in his place, is even worse. And that's, you know, obviously that's a problem for Dallas. I'm not as impressed with the guys up front. I know they have some, you know, Marcus Spears and Chris Canty and some of these guys. I just really haven't seen a lot out of those guys. And I don't think they're as good as they're being given. You know, Bill talked about them today.
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
Don't you feel
he
like...
He went to Virginia.
I thought Bill talked about him today like in San Diego all over again. You know, these three guys, they shut down the run. You know, you can't run at Spears. You can't run at Canty.
I never even heard of the nose tackle guy. What is
well, he's the guy that's Newitty? Replacing Jason Ferguson. He's a rookie.
But what's his name, Newitt?
I forget.
Isn't that a nice little story? They got the brothers in there. What are they? Iadeli?
Oh, okay.
One's a linebacker and one's a nose tackle. I think that's a funny little story. But they're not a good, consistent defense. But with Wade Phillips, and I think that's obviously a bonus for them, going from 3-4 to 3-4 type coaching. I think that's probably why Wade Phillips is the head coach in Dallas, because they wanted to have that consistency there. I just think they're a team that on any given week you could see Ware get three sacks, Newman get a pick, and you're talking about, well, you know, even Roy Williams blows a guy up at the line of scrimmage. I think you could see that defense make big plays on any given
week.
That
could happen. And that's how they try to live. I think it's very similar to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I think that they're, you know, Wade Phillips goes about his business and he says, I'm going to try to get as much pressure from the outside as I can. And if I can get there, I'm either going to get sacks or I'm going to create turnovers. But if I don't, my secondary is not that good, and I can be exploited. I think that's what you saw with San Diego, and I think that's what you're going to see with Dallas. And I don't think the Dallas personnel in that front seven is quite as good as San Diego's, so I think it's even more magnified. Now, I think DeMarcus Ware is outstanding, and he may be a better all-around player than Sean Merriman, because I think that he does a lot of different things. And we've talked a lot. We haven't been overly impressed with Merriman when we've seen him in person twice. He was a little bit better in this Sunday night game than he was in the playoff game, but haven't been overly impressed with that. But Ware is a guy that I think is really coming into his own.
All right. When we get back, we'll continue talking about this game coming up. Obviously, the Patriots have a big coaching advantage, I would say.
Fred, before you take a break, just throw it in there. Andy, pass this one along. Vinny Testaverde signed with the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers, I read that. Yep.
Okay, just throw that out there.
All right, just shows you that there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there if you need a quarterback. All right, we'll be right back.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriots specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Everybody now. All right.
Who's this?
Now, we're going down on Saturday, and I think we've got our restaurant picked out.
Well, you are the one recommending Sonny Bryan's.
I hear it's pretty good.
But only the original.
Gary, why aren't you coming on this trip? We have six buses this week.
I'm golfing in Maine this weekend.
Maine?
Golfing in Maine?
Slumming it.
It'd be like 30 degrees. What are you doing?
I didn't realize that when we planned our trip.
Yeah, planned a trip in the middle of October
in Maine. I was going to say Maine in October.
Right, go every figure. Year.
Is this a family thing, Gary?
Guy's got more trips than
he does.
I know. He's always going on trips.
It's Maine.
I know,
I'm driving there.
It's still,
it's
a,
still
trip.
A trip. Yeah. You have a lot of events that you go to.
Kind of a big deal.
Overseas and across country.
Hawaii, Vegas, Seattle.
Now, are you going alone or are you bringing your significant other?
No, boys trip.
Boys trip. Okay. All right. What? Paul.
Nothing.
Paul's, can we talk about Pidgeys and Peckerwoods, please?
All right, let's get to some emails. Webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Where's Tom?
I don't know.
Nobody knows where Tom is?
You're the boss.
Should we call him?
Have you checked your personal email account to see if there's a...
I don't have a personal. I have a work email account. That's the only email account I have. I don't have those Yahoos or MSNs or anything like
that. No, I meant just Fred Kirsch.
Of course I have.
You don't have any backups?
No, I don't. See, you?
So how do you sign into, like, stuff?
Is that how you send out your,
I had
your
an email
job
address.
Feelers?
I had an email address before I started working here, Fred.
But you don't even have a garbage one?
Doesn't cost anything.
When you started working here, they didn't have email.
That was pretty good.
He's been here a lot longer than me. I don't know what y'all
like. That's what makes it funny. It's like what I do. I make fun of you for something I would do.
Right. Well, like having a big head or something?
No. You don't have a big head.
No.
It's your belly that's huge. But seriously, you probably have an email that says, Fred, on Wednesday I can't come in because I have a doctor's appointment. And you always forget. Remember last year when I was on vacation for 4 days before you realized I wasn't there?
All right.
I'm a little worried, Paul. We left the TV show yesterday and Fred goes, this just might be it for me. And there was a hint of seriousness to it.
What, doing the show?
No. His career here, I believe.
Everything.
Fred, what are you doing? I told you, I have a long way to go before retirement. I know you guys think I'm so old. I'm not that old. You can't go.
Hold on.
Are you calling Tom?
Yeah, I'm calling
Tom. On the air.
He didn't learn his lesson with that Fitzy thing.
You want to take that, Fred?
What's going on here? It's all fun and games.
What
if it's serious? We're doing, like,
hey, what do you think
on live
Flanagan?
Radio here.
Never mind.
He's not picking up his cell phone.
Kind of a fan of Alex Flanagan. G?
Thumbs up.
All right, well, at least he knows that I tried to call him.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's get the
Make
emails.
Make sure you include that in the coroner's report.
Right. Webradio at patriots.com.
Don't ever say that again, or I'm going to stick this inside you.
Let's go with Brian first. He says, the only way the Pats lose is if they come out flat. The Cowboys have the talent to beat the Patriots if they let them. If both teams play up to their potential, the Patriots come out on top. The Patriots have the better coach, O-line, D-line, quarterback, secondary, wide receivers. This will be
O-line?
A good test for the Pats, but I think the Colts and Pittsburgh constitute a greater challenge. The best way to defense Romo is to give pop star Diva face masks to the D-backs. Romo can't keep his eyes off the top 40 TNA, thus he will be deceived into throwing errant passes.
Okay.
Is that a Carrie Underwood reference?
It might be.
Top 40
That's
TNA.
That's so old, though. Who is he going out with now?
Oh, he's not with her anymore? Oh,
I don't know either way. But
I thought that was just like a real short thing. No?
I don't know. You're more into these gossip pages,
Gary
I guess,
knows.
Than I am.
You read all those magazines.
You're the expert on real short things.
I thought it was Carrie Underwood.
Oh, okay, maybe he is still going out with her. I didn't know that. Okay. Let's see.
Do you think that it would take...
Wait a minute. The offensive line is what I wanted to bring up. They're different, but... Dallas has a pretty good offensive line, don't they?
Didn't they invest in it?
Didn't they bring Leonard Davis in?
Yeah, and I think those
they
guys
signed that other Garrod guy. And
well, they re-signed him. Yeah, I don't think they're that good.
Really?
Tom says they played pretty well.
Bill was saying it's what the most powerful.
He
group
falls.
He's in. Seen
I don't think it's
while.
As good as the Patriots' offensive line. That's for sure.
Really?
Well, speaking of that, is how any
how good
on,
is the Patriots'
Copen?
Offensive line?
Will Copen play? Do you think?
I don't.
He walked through the locker room.
How about Maroney?
Injury report comes out on Wednesday.
I don't know. It might cut into his shopping time. Did you see that?
Big
time down on that. I'm off Lawrence Maroney. Couldn't get further away from him.
During the game?
Shopping during a game is a total embarrassment.
What do you think, Fred?
Yeah, I think I'd be home watching the game.
I'd cut him.
I have to admit that.
Why wouldn't you be here watching the game?
What do you mean here?
You can be here.
Wasn't a home game?
Yeah, it was this week.
Oh, it was this week's game?
I don't even care if he's not here, though. If he goes home and watches it, fine. But to go that's a slap in the face to your team, your coaches, your organization.
I think he should be here. I
think he should be cut.
I think it's worse that he wasn't here, but...
Yeah.
That's an embarrassment.
It's, well,
I don't like
his
attitude.
We don't know if the report's accurate.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. Based on the attitude I see in the locker room, the way he carries himself, I don't love it.
Okay, you're down on Lawrence Maroney.
But not as much on the field as what I'm seeing from him as a personality. I think he's got a little superstar-ish attitude to him.
That he hasn't earned.
Yeah, he hasn't really done. If anything, this year has been a tremendous disappointment. Tremendous. Because regardless of the injury, I would have expected him to have a couple 40-yard touchdowns by this point, and I haven't seen him break a good one yet. I mean, that's what he's supposed to be. I want, punch. He's got that stiff arm and punch people in the secondary and run through them.
And
I haven't seen crap.
I would have thought that, given the way they're playing offense this year, and we thought this all during the offseason, there was going to be a lot of opportunities for big running plays. And Simi Morris has a 49-yard run. And I don't look at him as a big play running back. And, you know, and Maroney hasn't been able to find a crease. Now,
and it's not just us. I don't want to hear people say that we're, like, being negative, because we've already gotten emails, people saying, when Maroney's back, who's the starter? Should Morris keep the job? That kind of stuff. It's out there.
And you could certainly make an argument that they're playing defense differently with Sammy Morris on the field than they would with Lawrence Maroney.
Right.
You can make that argument, and you wouldn't be wrong.
You know, in the game that Morris had the 49-yarder, you know, Maroney didn't play. And I remember that play, and I think, Maroney would have gone all the way on that.
Oh, yeah.
But then you look at it and say, but would they have been playing the same
and
way?
You can make that argument, and like I said, you wouldn't be wrong. I mean, Maroney is the more dynamic of the two running backs, and it would only stand to reason that teams would give him a little bit more of attention than they would.
But they've been basically the exact opposite. I didn't really think Morris was all that good. He's been a tremendous surprise to me. And Maroney, I had high expectations for. I've been disappointed. They've both gone in the wrong directions.
Well, you know, I can't say. The only thing that disappoints me is not his performance, but the injury. I think when he's been out there, I've been very happy with how Maroney's been.
I think he should be a big play guy, and I haven't seen him break the big play yet.
Okay. Let's see. PJ says, yesterday I told you guys that I felt the Pats would win this game, but wouldn't be 16-0 because someone good had to be in the right spot to beat them. Of course, Paul chastised me, saying I wouldn't find a team that is in the right spot. But then again, Paul chastises everyone if they don't agree with his opinion.
No, just PJ.
I feel the Steelers are in a good spot to beat the Pats. The Pats will be playing on a short week after playing a physically tough team in Baltimore on Monday night. Then they have to play a defense that should be able to slow them down. Now on to Dallas. How will the Pats defend Jason Witten? Will they lock a safety on him or try to play AD on him? That would be the best matchup the Pats can throw at him, or will New England be in a lot of zone trying to confuse Roman with throwing some ill-advised passes, which he is prone to do? I just hope we stay healthy after playing Roy Horse Collar Williams.
He did it again?
Yeah. How did these guys play last week? Adalis Thomas, is he 100% after his injury? Brandon Merriweather, Ellis Hobbs, and Vince Wilfork.
Well, I think the Thomas question is a legitimate one, because I thought he looked like he was being a little ginger.
I'm a little concerned about that one, too.
So that would be an issue there. And the problem is with T.O. coming over the middle, it's not just Witten. It's not, you know, a traditional, okay, the receivers are on the outside. You got to have somebody on the wide receiver in the middle of the field, the back. I think with T.O. coming across, that adds to what you might want to do in there. I think Thomas is the guy you'd like to have roaming around in there on Witten, on T.O. crossing. You know, if
but
anything.
Not by him, do you feel comfortable with that matchup?
Well,
yourself?
I think you're going to see a lot of zone. I don't think you're going to see a lot of man stuff.
If you do see man stuff, I'd rather it be a safety than Adalis Thomas. I mean, I know that he has this reputation as being able to do all of these wonderful things. And I'm not saying that he hasn't shown the ability to do it, because he has. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. But I don't feel great about him lining up one-on-one with a Kellen Winslow. And Bill didn't have him do that last week, by the way. And I don't think that I would feel great about him even doing with Jason Witten.
What do you think of how Brandon Merriweather has been playing?
He hasn't played that much.
A tremendous amount. But when he has been, I thought, was it the Cincinnati game, the Monday night game? Right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the game that we thought he made a few plays and showed some spunk?
Yes.
And I mean, look, he's a rookie. He's learning. It's, by all accounts, a pretty complicated system.
He was bounced around a little bit with the whole cornerback thing early in the year where his primary time, now back to safety and nickelback. So, yeah, there's an adjustment
period
there.
This gets to a point that Andy and I have been talking about. I think the Patriots, and we talked about it a little yesterday, the Patriots secondary right now, I can't remember the last time it's been this deep, because they have, I mean, you look at it, I mean, you could make an argument that Merriweather is, what, the seventh defensive back, maybe even the eighth? I mean, you have.
Well, the very fact that Randall Gase not hurt yet tells you everything you need to know.
But he is a solid nickelback with Hobbs and Samuel at corner. And then you have Rodney back now with Wilson and Sanders at safety. You don't really even need Merriweather.
Six guys who have started.
With the word need in quotes. Now, like, Bill, what does Bill always say? You know, you never know what your depth is going to look like. You know, depth in September doesn't translate to depth in October and December and into January or whatever. Who knows? Maybe they, like they have in the past, they lose four or five defensive backs and Troy Brown is back there again. But who knows? I mean, I just don't see that scenario right now with the seven guys that they have that have played. And that's not even counting guys like Rashad Baker, who has played a little bit in safety, and even into special teamers like Willie Andrews.
We should mention transactions. Marcellus Rivers,
he's back,
was
baby.
Re-signed with the team, and Chad Brown was released.
Woo-wee! Now, the question is, does Marcellus Rivers make it past Saturday?
Right.
We'll have to keep an eye on that when we're waiting on the bus to see if he makes it out.
Does he get the hat trick?
Well, question is, does he ever take that thing out of his ear, that little Bluetooth thing that I've never seen him without, I don't think, yet. He's always talking on it.
Would they have released Chad Brown if Adalys Thomas was worse than we think he is? Injury-wise, health-wise?
Well, I think that Adalys Thomas isn't worse than we think he is in terms of not being able to play.
Okay. No, he's going to play, but the question is it limiting him? Is it slowing him? Is it going to, you know, if somebody hits it, does he miss a play here or there? That kind of thing. Right. Yeah, I think he's going to play.
How about Kevin Faulk? Do you think he'll play?
Paul, what did he have on?
What are they
surgical
called?
Stocking?
Surgical sleeves? Stocking? Yeah, he had something on his left leg. His right leg.
Right.
And, you know, I overheard him talking a little bit in the locker room, and one of his teammates asked him how he was doing, and he said, we're going to go find out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out.
Maybe it could be running.
Or it could mean they're reading an MRI or something.
Well, I took it as more of an indication that he was going to get his treatment and then probably try to get out in the field, see how it was. But I wouldn't say that he is, got a clean bill of health.
Probably questionable.
Well, I feel good that we have Kyle Eckel here.
Why?
In case he can't play.
I know Kyle Eckel can't play.
I'm waiting for you guys to jump all over Kyle
Eckel. It's so funny. We all talk about
I'm not jumping all
the
over.
Fullback is this dying position, and the two 5-0 teams both have a pair of fullbacks on the roster. We got these Kyle Eckels. Well, there's a couple differences between the two teams, but
they're old. They're old.
Four
time.
Fullbacks.
Well, it's you know, Bill talked about that whole thing about how it's evolved, and like in the 60s and 70s, there was two running backs in the backfield that carried the ball. These guys aren't fullbacks
right.
in the modern sense.
Right.
These guys are running backs that are just kind of too big to be running backs,
right.
like Dante called Heath Evans. He's a running back in a fullback's body, and that's what Eckel is too.
Right.
They're not really fullbacks like Sam Gash or Lorenzo Neal. These guys are big.
Well, Oliver Hoyt
guys
is,
that want to run the ball. Oliver Hoyt's a linebacker.
Well, the next time
he's a blocker, he's a blocker. I mean, right. that's all he's. He's a battering ram. And when he has a seventh concussion, they'll kick him to the curb and find another guy to do that job.
Well, the next time the Patriots are on the goal line, will we see Junior Seau in there, or will we see Kyle Eckel as a lead blocker?
I think we'll see Junior Seau.
My guess is Seau and Vrabel are part of that goal line package.
Clearly,
now.
Bill thinks that's his best package to it's put out there, best interest of the football
team. The last time they did that, I saw Junior Seau just dive over the pile and not hit anyone. I mean, you got to go after somebody,
well,
right?
In their defense, that's what he and Bruschi do on defense. So.
Oh,
what?
Man.
What?
Wow.
Well, the other issue there wasn't Heath Evans trying to follow him? That's the problem with that backfield. I'm not sure it's Seau. As much as we hate the injury factor, I think the problem with that backfield is it should be Sammy Morris behind Junior Seau. Your boy Heath Evans, not a great goal line runner.
He's not a good short yardage back.
Jacques is from Dallas. And
Corner? Isn't that the guy's name?
He said that Jacques Tony Reeves. Romo confused by Bills defense. The thing that surprised me about the Dallas loss to the Bills was that Romo said after the game that the reason he had all those interceptions was that he was confused by the Bills defense and coverage, and he was not able to adjust. Now, if that's true, then they have some issues. Like one of the Dallas talking heads said Tuesday, you would never have had Brady say this because the Pats coaching staff prepares their team better than the Cowboys coaching staff, obviously.
No question
Romo.
About that.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I've heard Brady say they did some things to us defensively that we didn't think they were going to do, we didn't expect, and
I'm talking about
we had to try to adjust.
The preparation of the coaching staff for the Patriots being better than Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, that's but I've heard Brady say he saw things that we didn't expect.
Many times I've heard Brady say he was
confused
by something.
Well, even against the Bills game, didn't they say at the beginning they threw some things at us that, you know, we weren't didn't scheme for, and
that's
then we
what
had to adjust.
That's what they said about the slow start that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they absolutely did. But, I mean, it's funny because that's the second person that mentioned that about Romo saying that. I guess I just missed that.
Yeah.
But they did win the game. The Cowboys did win the game.
Right.
Oh, said that they lost.
Well.
They said the Cowboys lost to the Bills. I mean, they won. I mean, I know they shouldn't have won.
Right.
And they didn't deserve to, but they did.
Let's see. Simon from New York says that Fred is crazy. What kind of crazy pills am I taking when Fred starts choosing the Cowboys over the Pats? I mean, Jesus Christ, if Tom is smart enough to realize that the Dallas poor performance against the Bills isn't enough reason to think that Tom Brady and his offensive arsenal will not pick apart that defense, not to mention if the Bills are going to post 5 interceptions with their defense, can you imagine what the Pats are going to do to that Dallas offense? It's absolutely juvenile to think that Wade Phillips and his Cowboys have anything to post against Belichick and the Pats. Absolutely asinine. And I thought Fred had at least one or two smart brain cells in his head. Buck up and fire Gary's replacement, too. Wow.
He's already gone.
Is he? They fired him after yesterday?
Yeah, he got all kinds of sound in the locker room today.
Oh.
And by the
demoted.
Way, by the way, the icing the kicker timeout call is the biggest BS call in football history. I can't believe the NFL has spent this much time busting every little call, and then they let this stupid thing slide. I think the only people who should be able to call timeouts are the guys playing on the field. I know that everyone is playing the same game, but they really ought to get rid of that rule and start playing effing football. That's Simon in New York.
I agree with Simon. I hate the rule.
So why don't they change it?
They can't change it in the middle of the season.
Isn't that what they did last time, the Patriot thing?
Yep, and
double?
I think that was wrong.
I do too, but they did it once. Why not do it again?
Oh, they obviously don't think it's wrong. I'm not convinced they're going to change it next year.
Well, on a regular play...
I don't think they think it's wrong.
On a regular play, you're able to call timeout right up to the snap, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're asking to make an exception for field goal play, right?
No, I'm just not... I'm saying if the ball is snapped like that and there's a timeout being called 80 yards away, it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, once the ball snapped, I don't think they'll allow it, will they?
I just think they cut it too close.
Yeah.
That's all. But, I mean, a lot of timeouts are used during the course of the regular play. It's different. This is what my whole problem is with a lot of the rules. And here I go, Andy. I'm going to go on one of my tangents. But
I'll lay down.
I just don't understand why everything has to be so black and white. You just put it perfectly, Fred. There's a lot of calls that get timeouts that are used right before the ball is snapped.
But I digress.
But is it the same when there's like 13 guys running around completely out of position on defense and they realize it just before the ball is snapped and they're frantically calling timeouts? Is that the same thing as calling a timeout just as a ball is being snapped to kick a field goal? No.
I agree with you. I get frustrated when they call these timeouts, but then again, you've kept these timeouts. You've managed to keep these timeouts for the end of the game.
I'm not saying you're not allowed to call the timeout.
Right.
I'm saying that you shouldn't be allowed to call
the timeout. Call the old-fashioned way to ice him.
Call
just make him think about it. Not make him kick it twice.
That's what you're trying to do, is ice the kicker. What they've turned it into is they're trying to make him have to do it twice.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do.
Right. You know what I want to happen is somebody to lose a game because of it.
Right.
Where the guy misses the first one,
right,
then they make him kick it again, and he hits it straight through the freaking uprights.
And it happened to Belichick, only it didn't burn him because the Patriots won the game anyway. At the end of the first half in Atlanta, they missed the first one, and he made the second one. And it happened for the Patriots against Chicago the opposite way, when Gostkowski missed the long one last year at the end of the first half against the Bears, but Lovie Smith called timeout and he made the second one. So, I mean, you definitely run the risk. I just think it's dumb.
Right.
I don't think it's fair. That's all.
Tom is from Ottawa, Canada. He says, I was reading Tom's Ask PFW when a guy emailed in regarding the PUP guys, and one name I totally forgot about was Eddie Jackson. I know we signed him while he was still injured, so I assume
everybody
Bill
does.
Must really like this guy and feel that he would get picked up by another team very easily. What can he bring to the DBs, and any idea on who will be dropped? Also, who goes if Torrey Brown gets activated on Monday? Does Kelly Washington lose his spot, or maybe even Gutierrez? I am assuming that the team would replace someone on offense. And finally, he says, looking forward to the game this weekend. The Pats should win, but then again, they've lost too much to much worse teams in the past, so I'm confident that this game is not certain. And is there any way to watch the TV show you guys do on the internet?
I thought we put that online.
We haven't recently. We haven't been getting the tapes from Neckin.
Oh, I didn't know that we put that online.
Well, we were only putting the Trash Talk segment online last year.
Oh.
The Point Counter.
I didn't know any of that was online ever.
Yeah.
Were you getting paid for that, Andy?
Oh,
you getting extra for that?
What are you, in a union?
I
don't get extra for anything.
Eddie Jackson.
I don't think there's any chance that Eddie Jackson, unless they lose four defensive backs in the next 3 weeks when that window closes, or next 4 weeks.
Isn't he supposed to be a pretty good special teamer?
But why do they need another one?
No, I was just asking.
What
I don't know much
Shad
about
Jackson?
Eddie Jackson. IR.
He's going to be...
We don't know.
Where are you
going to
put him?
Do you have
the feeling that Bill kind of, you know, he said it before that sometimes you don't have to make a decision early because time kind of takes care of things for you. And
right.
You have the feeling that maybe at the beginning of the year he didn't think all his receivers would be
healthy
at this point?
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance that with Chad Jackson, you just wait. You don't have to do anything.
That's why the way this team, in my
opinion...
You
can go to week 12 on that.
The way this team was put together, I just think was brilliant. I mean, I don't think there was any stone left unturned. You know.
Bears left. You know, you don't have to...
No, I'm just saying... They set themselves up to be prepared
was,
for
was
almost
he
every.
He was for a little while.
Oh, you couldn't tell?
No.
Oh, if you couldn't tell by the way I was talking for about 10 minutes, you just don't pay attention to me.
The volume was down completely anyway.
We don't take any chances, Gary. You were at brilliant.
No, I just think they set themselves up to be able to withstand injuries at a number of different
brilliant.
Spots.
Brilliant!
And have...
I like those commercials.
Starting caliber players waiting in the wings. I mean, you could lose two or three receivers and still have Chad Jackson and Troy Brown step in there with guys like Stallworth and Welker. You know, like, say, you know, if Moss and Welker went down, you'd have, you know, Troy Brown to do the Welker thing and Stallworth to do it, be a poor man's Moss. You suffer, but not nearly as much as you would, you know, in the past. Same thing at defensive back, we already talked about. There's so many different spots that I think they've covered themselves.
Rashad Baker, cut. That's my guy. He's gone for somebody.
I think Troy Brown and Richard Seymour are activated as soon as they're ready, and assuming that they're ready now.
You reach Richard Seymour fan.
Eddie Jackson, I think, goes on IR, and I probably, if nothing happens with before week 9, then Chad Jackson, you know, probably going to end up going on IR too.
He only comes at, he's only on the active roster if they get decimated.
That's the way I look at it.
Because he has no, you have no idea what he is.
At least
Troy Brown, okay, so you say he lost a step. He's still a possession guy who can go out there and catch the football for you. He still has some value. You still have absolutely no idea what Chad Jackson is.
Yeah, and you can wait, like Andy said, they can wait all the way to week 9 before any of those guys has to start practicing. And then from that point on, you'd have 3 weeks whenever.
So you can wait till week 12.
So you have a roster exemption for up to week 12 if they start practicing.
We have 3 weeks from when you start practicing them.
Right.
After you can start practicing after week 6. Once you start practicing, you have 3 weeks to make a decision.
Right.
You have a 3 week window to start practicing between week 6 and 9.
Okay.
So Chad Jackson.
You know, and during all that time, it doesn't count against the roster.
Right.
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 I think Chad Jackson is like some Joe guy who's on the street right now. Before they sign him, maybe they activate Chad Jackson. Other than that, he doesn't really bring that much to the table.
Matt is from Quincy. He says, I'll be in Dallas for the game on Sunday. There's an old saying that there is a hole in the roof of Texas Stadium so God can watch the Cowboys. That's true. He still has better seats than I do.
Oh, he's got like my seats at the Super Bowl? Is that...
You talked over his joke.
Sorry, I didn't think it was that fun.
Even so, it should be a great time.
Smurless.
Last chance to see a game on that field. I won't mean to hijack your show, but I wonder if you or any of the PFWIP faithful have any suggestions on places to go. A good tip on a sports bar to watch the Sox game on Saturday night would be helpful.
Yes, it would.
And a good gentleman's club wouldn't hurt either.
Yeah,
anyway,
true.
Looking forward to a good time.
Didn't really give that much thought, but yeah, you're right.
As normally the Pats fans are well represented on the road. I know that they have big billboards for gentlemen's clubs on the highway down in Dallas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it a...
Everything's big in Dallas.
They really look at their strip clubs as more classy than up north. You know,
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, because that sounds like it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going.
I'm poor.
I never would.
Sorry.
Didn't mean
to hit the moral.
I'm the elite Fred Kirsch. When did you turn into Eric?
Didn't mean to hit the moral high ground.
But like I said, we are thinking of going to Sonny Bryan's.
Yes.
But we should call and make sure they have TVs. Because we don't want to get stuck in a place where
otherwise,
we can't watch
we'll
the Red Sox.
Otherwise, we'll have to go to Houlihan's because they got a lot of TVs.
They got a lot of TVs there now.
We are taking, if there's anybody who knows Dallas very well and there is a better barbecue slash sports bar.
Irving, so
yeah, but Dallas is close.
Is it?
Because that Sonny Bryan's, the original that we have to go to, has a Dallas address, and it's only 8 miles from our hotel or something. So it's not that far. Now, that other one you recommended was who knows where.
Wrights.
Yeah, that was like 100 miles away or something.
Okay.
But we'll take any recommendations on sports bars / barbecue, watch Red Sox.
Fred, there's always the Wild Wings Buffalo.
Fred, are we going to watch, if we watch the Red Sox game, are you just going to root against the Red Sox? Are you going to try to irritate me?
See, Paul thinks that everybody that works for the Patriots hates the Red Sox.
No, I'm asking you specifically.
Do you hate the Red Sox?
I love the Red Sox.
And why'd you leave in the sixth inning?
In 19,
no further questions.
I had a kid and I had to go home.
I'm done with this guy.
But,
what kid? Kid's like 17.
I've done more with the Red Sox than anyone in this room. In 1993, I was the guy that brought all the family of the 1918 team.
That's because you enjoyed reliving the curse, isn't it?
No,
isn't that true?
Break the curse.
No, you enjoyed reliving it.
Can you answer my question?
You were fueling it.
If we go out and watch the Red Sox Saturday night, are you going to root against them?
Why would I root against the Red Sox?
Because I don't think you really like them, and I think you perceive them as a threat. And somehow,
I like the Red Sox.
Cheapening
I don't
success.
Like Larry Lucchino.
I don't
think
either.
He's a jerk.
I don't know Larry Lucchino.
Screw the Sox. And I don't like – I love Mike Lowell. Screw the Sox.
He wants
this.
To have Mike Lowell's child.
You know I like Mike Lowell. I like all the guys except Curt Schilling and Papelbon.
Why do you not like Papelbon?
Oh, he's an idiot.
Because he put a box on his head.
Oh, it's not just that.
And celebrated.
The more he gets comfortable here in Boston, the bigger jerk idiot he becomes.
Is he a jerk or an idiot?
No, he's an idiot.
I agree. He's not an idiot.
He's not
but
the
I think he's a likable
tree,
idiot.
But he's a very good guy. Very nice guy.
Well, you don't think there's some idiots in this locker room that you root for?
He's like talking to Dice K and like, what about Pearl Harbor or whatever he was doing? I forget. It's like,
yes, Dice K.
You're an idiot.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
I'm surprised they even knew. I got to be honest with you.
They probably fed it to him.
I thought it was Japan.
All right. Let's get back to some emails. Web radio.
I like that
he calls himself Cinco
Ocho.
After this break.
Your New England Revolution have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Noonan.
Shot and it's in! Patrick Noonan!
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls, and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the game with the greats. Where will you be?
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that?
Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right.
We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
Fred Kerr started Patriots Football Weekly, runs Patriots.com, but has a soft spot for PFW in progress.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
Patriots.com Radio.
All right, welcome back to PFW in progress.
Do you even know who that is?
That's Cartman.
You watch South Park at all?
I used to watch it a lot, long before you watched it, my
very
friend.
Very funny, you guys.
I'm just
asking. I saw the movie when it was in the theater.
Me too.
Okay.
Why are you getting so defensive? I just asked.
But
you watched The West Wing. I didn't know if you lowered yourself to South Park.
Your line of questioning is to prove how out of touch
I
am.
No, that is... You're very much... I think you're a pretty hip guy for your age.
I don't watch a lot of TV anymore.
How come?
I just... I don't know. I can't get involved in things. I watch Heroes, but I watch it online when I have time.
How? At your desk?
NBC.com allows you to watch it for a week.
No, but I mean at your desk or?
Yeah, on the PC.
It's on the craft dollar.
I get in early.
It gets so defensive. You know, I'm tired of you guys making fun of me for getting defensive about these stupid things, because you guys both do the same thing.
No, but I just don't watch a lot of TV. Like
I don't either.
I love The Office, and I get to watch maybe 4 episodes a year.
So why don't you download it to your iPod and watch them on the plane?
I should.
What are you doing at home that you can't watch anything?
I don't know. I just, like, last night I didn't get home till 9 because I was helping with lacrosse sign-ups. There's always something.
So you can't watch anything, but yet you found...
And I like to read.
But you found it within your leisure time to watch Jonathan Papelbon put a stupid beer box on his head, and you've hated him ever since.
That was at midnight.
So what were you doing at midnight?
That's the point. I'm done by midnight doing the things that I do.
Well why can't you watch shows at midnight then? Instead of watching Jonathan Papelbon dance in the middle of the field with a beer
box.
Well,
the other thing is a guilt thing. It's like
he likes
my time is valuable, and I feel like I'm wasting
my
it.
My time is valuable.
I feel like I'm wasting it if I'm not watching something that's really good.
If you really like The Office, then...
No, that I would watch. I think that's worth
it. Well, you have a DVR and you have an iPod. No. There's ways to watch it.
I think the Office is worth your time.
I think you like watching stuff online because you think you're more cerebral.
No, I think you think that.
I think he likes it because it's on the crap dime.
I think that you're more cerebral. Yeah, you're right. I do think that.
Let's go back to the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. Webradio@patriots.com.
You're not Robert.
He thinks I am.
Who's he?
Gil Santos. One and the same. He's getting old, you know.
Oh, my.
I've noticed. I've heard a game or two.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to offline. Anyway, let's get back to some emails. Webradiopatriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Just sit
hey,
right
little
back.
Buddy.
With the big Cowboys, this is from Steve with a V from Methuen.
Okay.
Says, with the big Cowboys offensive Steve. Line having trouble PH. With the Bills' quick defensive line Monday, how do you think Steve. The Pats' D-line will fare this week? Do you think Colvin will move towards the 11 sack total
no.
that Tom predicted this season?
So far, I'm looking pretty good. And I don't think...
You don't think that will change this week?
Yeah, I think he is what he is. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player.
Is this a better week for him?
Is
bigger offensive line, big mountain, maybe
I don't
he can
think
get
him
around.
Getting 11 sacks will make him a great player. I just think it's a circumstance thing, you know?
I don't think he was a great player when he came here. He was
obviously
the best
he didn't have
there
a
was.
Sack.
He was a good fit. They needed him, all that. But I never thought, I mean, he wasn't a Pro Bowl, like, game-changing type
player.
Well,
it was a knock on him when he came. It's like, well, who's he surrounded by? And those guys made him better in Chicago.
But even surrounded by, I didn't think he played as a game-changer.
Speaking of that, your guy, Urlacher, is he missing a lot of tackles lately, or is it just me?
It's just you.
He's, like, what, running by plays a lot.
Haven't seen the Chicago Bears play all year.
I saw,
really?
Who were they playing, the Packers? Was that the recent? I saw him getting eaten alive a couple times.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing you can do, but I think you can do that to any linebacker. If you put a lineman one-on-one who's decent, I think they eat him up because they outweigh him by 70 pounds.
You're supposed to use your quickness to get around him.
I understand that.
Hit,
but...
dip, and...
Rip.
Rip.
You always forget the rip. Every time you try to say that, you forget the third
one. I
don't
know why.
So you get run over like Chad Brown because you hit, you dip, and what was I supposed to do?
Are those my cleats in the air?
Martin is from London, England. He says,
Martin.
I'm...
he knows, I bet. He knows about that O2 thing. No TVs at Sonny Bryan's.
How do you know that, Gary?
Just got a call.
Just called.
Oh, my goodness, we can't go to Sonny Bryan's.
Well, we're going to have to find a plan B. Can somebody
I'll tell
find
you right
us a plan
now,
B?
Let's go to that Wild Wings place.
I know you guys are going to make fun of me, but I'm leaning toward room service for this guy. I can't.
I'm not going to. I'll go to Wild Wings
you're
with
you, Fred. You know why he's doing this? Because of me.
No,
because
I got to watch the game.
If the Red Sox fall behind, he doesn't want to have to be with me.
Well,
he wants to be with like-minded people.
That's himself in his hotel room?
No. to be
no one agrees with me. I'm going to sit in here by myself.
You know what, Fred? That's funny. I don't. It's not really because of that, but I've never been a guy that like. And I know you're gonna make fun of me for this, but that's fine. I don't like going to watch games in big
rule
crowds.
Rule 17B/C.
It's not a rule, okay? But I don't. That's why I said I know you guys are gonna make
what
fun
mean
of
you
me.
Don't
Section
like
five
games
double dot one.
You're telling me how you were a season ticket holder for
all
those years.
Let me say this. You know how you watch football. You think football's better because you know the like every play and you get into the game and
in a gay way, of course.
But you probably find baseball boring,
gay.
Right?
No, I like a good baseball game, but I'm not interested in many teams except for the Red Sox.
I certainly understand why people don't like baseball. It's so slow and whatever.
Right.
But I get into the game itself. I enjoy it, and I know I'm in the minority. I'm not trying to convince anybody that they're wrong. I'm not like a soccer fan that says, "Oh, you just don't understand the game."
But doesn't anyone want football?
I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people would say baseball's boring, and I can understand why. But to me, it's not. And I don't,
you know more.
I can't really get it. No, I
he gets the idiosyncrasies of the game
see,
and
I
the
knew.
Subtleties.
Gary, I knew I would get made fun of for this.
No,
I just
all right,
like
I'm with
the
you,
game.
Paul.
All right, but,
I like the game, and I don't like to be.
No, Paul doesn't want you with him.
In a loud crowd. Well, no, I wouldn't mind
watching
with you guys. I'm talking about the rest of the people. Like there's going to be hundreds of people screaming and yelling, and you can't even tell what's going on. And
probably not because
you don't know what the
teams,
count is.
I mean,
you don't even know what's going on.
It's the Red Sox in Cleveland, and we're watching it in Dallas. Probably no one's going to even care.
I don't know why that would be. Why?
Because it's the Red Sox in Cleveland, and we're watching it in Dallas.
So people don't care about sports?
Not baseball as much down there, and less the Red Sox in the Indians.
That's true. Down there,
that's right. What night is this? Probably all be at high school football games.
That's Friday Saturday night. Friday night.
They don't
Friday
play any
night
Saturday night games yet?
That's the name of the show.
I've read the book. I assumed they played on both like they do around here.
I don't know. Anyway.
But that's all I'm saying.
I hate you,
look,
Gary.
Listen, let's talk about this, Paul, because I think we're getting
let's
into
not.
You know, I think this is good for you to get this out. Now, you don't like being... It's just
and
baseball
I don't like,
specific.
I was going to say no. It would be the same thing for a Patriots game. If I was going as a fan, I don't want to watch it. With a bunch of guys, half of them, might be rooting against you. And
well, so
what? Because I don't enjoy it. I don't get a lot of enjoyment out of watching a game that I can't really get into.
Why? Well, what's stopping you from getting into it?
Well,
you're too worried
the
about
the noise, the distractions.
Don't worry about them,
he
Paul.
Needs to break it down. He's like Bill Belichick when he watches
Paul,
a game. He needs to break down every aspect.
If there's a guy two tables away,
again, I knew I would get made fun of for this. I'm okay with that.
If there's a guy two tables away that's rooting for the Indians, what effect does that have on you? You shouldn't worry about them, Paul. Just
on a much smaller scale, think back to the preseason game against the Giants this year. Remember when we played the Giants here at Gillette Stadium? It was a Thursday afternoon. Red Sox and Yankees had played that day. It was the game that Jabba Chamberlain threw two balls in a row over Kevin Youkilis' head. Remember when we were sitting around before the game just talking? And remember that table? Do you know how hard it was for me not to say anything to those guys? Do you know how against my nature it was to stay out of that when they were saying, oh,
but that's an extreme case.
But that's
that guy
happens,
was being
Andy.
A total
I
DB
know.
That
and
we can't say anymore.
What do you think, in a bar full of people, you're not going to have a few of those?
That was an extreme case.
Paul.
That guy was a total idiot.
I ignored them that day, and it took every fiber of my
belly
being to not do it. He's got to do it.
So what you were afraid of is you're watching this baseball game.
I don't have the
self-discipline that you really love, and if you hear somebody say stupid about it, you're going to want to say something.
It's not just baseball. It's football. It's a sport that I care about the outcome of the game. I don't mind if I go watch two teams I don't care about.
See, I think
because I don't need to be into every
I think
pitch.
It's more fun.
I do too.
When you're with a bunch of people
don't.
And it's screaming. And
I've
yelling.
Never understood that. Why people?
Well, remember that time? I forget where we were. It might have been Philly. We were watching in a sports bar, and it was college football. And there was somebody across the place that was rooting for some team, and we were purposely like rooting against it to see.
That's exactly my point right there.
But that was great.
Someone overhears me or looks the look of my face in the middle of the seventh inning of a one-run game. I'm rooting against them just because of him. That's exactly my point. And I would definitely do that if I was the neutral guy.
Oh, all right.
Like I said, I know I'm in the minority, but I find baseball just like football. I think the strategy of the game means something.
But I think watching sports lends itself to being in a group with people. I think
that's why stadiums seat like 80,000
people.
Well,
if I'm at the game, and that's a different story. And I love going to games, too. Although I don't really
as long
love,
as no one stands up.
I don't really love going to baseball games.
I think you
honest.
Have more in common with Bill
Belichick.
I like
going to football games more.
Because you both want to sit in a dark
room.
Have
I ever walked by you without saying hi?
Watch it on a video screen with no one bothering.
Have I ever walked by you without saying hello?
I
like baseball very, very much.
It's common courtesy. I would never do that. So don't ever.
But I think,
make that comment again.
I think we're getting to the root of your neuroses here, Paul.
I have a lot of them. I agree
you know,
with you.
This is interesting. I think maybe we should bring in like a radio psychiatrist. And maybe he can sit and do an on-air session with Paul about how this started. You know, this disdain for other people's opinion.
Whoa.
So were you like in like a group setting as a little kid and everybody turned on you and pointing and laughing?
What happened?
Oh, he's the fat kid's rooting for the Red Sox and pointing.
Paul wasn't
first of
fat.
All.
He was.
I know.
You were the fat kid.
So was the fat kid sitting on you?
That's why you're an ass right now.
Right.
No, that's not true.
Obviously, that's what happened to him. Just so everybody knows, Andy was the one who couldn't play Pop Warner football because he was too fat.
Right.
Okay?
It is what it is.
I thought there was talent had something to do with it, too.
No.
Plus, they couldn't find a helmet that fit him.
Right.
Well, that probably would have been the next hurdle.
It's not. So you're not going to watch the Reds?
I'm definitely going to watch the game.
But, I mean, out in public.
Yeah, no, I'm probably going out with you guys, but I do have some trepidation about
that. We could
that.
Go to that Wild Wings place.
You've said that 17 times. We've gotten it.
Well, we know it's a known.
But I kind of want to go someplace not known. It's Dallas. I feel like
we
should do something a little.
Have TVs.
I want someplace with like a big rack of like antler, not
where's
antlers,
our Texas
horns
people?
And
Austin. Austin's not really close to Dallas. I know Phil, but we need one of our Texas people to give us a good scouting report.
Somebody
we need,
tell
we
us something other than
place.
Sonny Bryan's and what was the other one? Whitman's, White's, Wright.
Right. We need something that's in the Irving area that we can get to that we can have
barbecue and baseball
wings. Beer and watch them, being able to watch the baseball game.
All right, Martin, I told
that's another problem. We might get into one of these places down there, and they might have all college football games on. We might
so
not.
We'll ask to have it changed.
Yeah, and what if they don't want
to
change
well,
it because
we'll
everybody
ahead.
Else in the place
we'll have
wants
to call ahead.
We'll tell them to go screw themselves. You know who we're with?
Because Fred is right about that. I mean, this is the heart
that's
of
right.
football.
Then they pull a gun on us, and I run out screaming like a little biatch.
Martin Lund is in London. I'm jumping on the 16-0 bandwagon and riding it until the wheels fall off. I wondered if you all thought there's a chance that the Dolphins go 0-16, especially since Green's concussion in the ever-decreasing QB free agent pool. Who knows? Maybe we're about to see the first 16-0 seasons at the same. That would be something.
I think it's less likely.
There's less of a chance of anybody going 0-16 than there is going 16-0.
You know why? Because there's a lot of bad teams. So that bad team is going to beat another bad team on someday.
Because it's exactly right. You have the opposite. 12 out of your 16 games are winnable if you're a bad team.
Right.
Because you're playing another bad team. Whereas for the
16
weeks,
no one can beat the Patriots. No one's expected to beat them.
But the good team, 12 out of 16 games to me are unlosable.
Or you're the Patriots. 16 out of 16 are unlosable. I'm sure that's a word, by the way.
I have to laud you for resisting the temptation there, because Martin said that he was jumping on the bandwagon, hopes the wheels don't fall off, and I thought for sure you were going to say, and
Paul's
already on it, so I have to give you credit.
Alejandro from Bogota.
There's been a lot today.
Not
says,
really.
I'm looking forward to see Dallas's defensive game plan. I believe they can't afford to leave their secondary on man-to-man coverage. With that in mind, do you think Dallas front will be able to generate enough pressure on Brady? How do you foresee Matt Light matching up against DeMarcus Ware?
With Kyle Brady.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that
you agree with no man-to-man, all zone coverage, that kind of stuff for Dallas?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be man up with Randy Moss all the time.
Terrence Newman is healthy.
He's not, though. We heard him say he's not.
Well, he could be.
Plus, I think that the Browns played a lot of man coverage on Randy Moss. They just didn't do one-on-one man coverage.
Right.
There's a difference between double-teaming a guy in zone defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they had, like I said, is it Eric Wright? I keep wanting to call him Eric. I thought that he handled them a lot of that game individually and had help over the top with the safety help, so he could be physical at the line of scrimmage. I think that if you don't do that with Randy Moss, you're asking for trouble. You have to try to bump him off his route and get physical with him. Otherwise, you have no chance.
Josh in Jacksonville says, I was just curious if some of the sound bites that Gary plays are available anywhere on the Internet to be downloaded.
I'm sure they are.
I believe at GaryGradecki.com, right? You can get them.
I don't think that's the area.
No? I'm very interested in the Mariano Rivera introduction soundbite on the opening day 2005 at Fenway. I have a diehard Yankees fan here at work. I'd love to play that for him. So,
okay, turn your computer up.
Ready?
Pitcher number 41, Randy Johnson. Pitcher number 42, Mariano Rivera.
That's awesome.
That's good stuff.
The cheering lasts another 20 seconds, by the way.
That was very funny. And the fact that Rivera took it so well made it even better.
Right. Let's see. Todd from Nova Scotia says, you're killing Paul. Love the show. Much more entertaining than that so-called real radio on Patriots Monday. Hate the new website. It's pretty, but it's hard to find what I'm looking for.
You're making my point.
Freddie, say it ain't so. You're picking the Cowboys. Do you have some inside info? Did you have a dream? Go talk to whoever you need to talk to and get your head straight. Now, to get to the subject of my email, stop buying Paul food. I was watching 5 Points of Perillo. If you buy a custom suit, wave a football at the camera, and I adjust the contrast of my monitor, you can change the name of the show to Put Up Your Perillos.
Come on. By the way, you might want to tune in to put on your Dukes tomorrow, Fred.
My
NFL
question.
Network.
That's right. You're going to be on.
How do you know?
Because they came. Stacy was asking where if you could do it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But that's.
Did you know that?
Andy.
Yes, he told me.
Andy.
He was disappointed in the show.
Andy, you have to defend me here.
What?
Come on. I mean, there's fat, and
no.
Then there's put up your dude.
I mean, he's so fat, he sweats nonstop. He's on camera, and the sweat is just pouring down him. If anyone was ever not made for TV, it's that fat bastard.
Actually, he says, my question is, if that's what Paul looks like, how old is Fred? Just kidding, Paul. You look pretty good for a guy in his mid-50s.
Oh, boy. Everybody's a comedian.
Sandeep says, where's Tom? It's the Cowboys week, and where the heck is Tom Say Wow Casale?
He couldn't take it
anymore.
Come
on, Fred. You could have sent somebody else to cover the press conferences. Why? We need some lively trash talk.
He's not here.
Also,
but you know what?
What?
But he's picking the Patriots.
Right. Because he can look at a game and analyze it, unlike you.
There's no trash talk necessary. Also, well, what are
you? He might be trying to use reverse psychology too. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, what are your thoughts on the alleged cheap shot by Vrabel? I checked my TiVo, and it's pretty clear he was going for the ball, and there was no whistle that indicated the play was dead.
Yeah. See, if he was just going for the ball, I have a problem with that. Now, I think there might be something to the fact that he was kind of got caught up and got pushed a little bit, but he talked about that today, Fred, in the locker room, and he just said it's unfortunate that they think that. I'm not that kind of a player, and I've never been that kind of player. He was appreciative of Belichick defending him yesterday, but he just kind of wanted to put it in the rearview mirror and talk about Dallas. But he wasn't upset with the questions or anything like that. But you know, look, Andy and I have had problems trying to see this play.
Yes, I'd like to tell you what I think, but Comcast DVR system sucks. And if you click it to tape the Patriots game, it stops at 4 o'clock when the guide says the game ends, not when the game actually ends. So I missed the final 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah, so I don't want to make it sound like that Andy and I aren't really
waiting.
Is
Comcast a major sponsor?
But you can't you override that and do it by time instead of by show?
I guess I can, but that they need to get better. They need to be like TiVo, and they need to amp up their is it ramp up or amp up? It's ramp up, huh?
I'm just saying I don't want people to think that Andy and I are trying to avoid this by not weighing in.
No, it's Comcast's fault.
I haven't seen a replay of the play in question to be able to formulate my own opinion. On the surface, to me, diving around on a spike play, which was clearly going to be a spike play, not only that, but with 11 seconds left in a 17-point game, to me, is a little cheap. I don't think there's a, you know, this whole thing about playing to the whistle and all that, the Patriots were very, very upset with the Pittsburgh Steelers when Gillette Stadium opened back in 2002 because Cordell Stewart did everything in his power to score a touchdown on the last play of the game to cut the game to 30-14. The Patriots, to a man, were furious with Pittsburgh because they said that's how guys get hurt when one team is playing hard and the other team isn't. So I think it's a little hypocritical to sit there and say, the game is still going on, a spike play is a play, the ball is loose on the ground. Again, I don't want to comment on this play specifically because I didn't see it. You know, I haven't seen a replay of it, but I think there's a little hypocrisy there.
Craig is here from Boxborough. He says, hey, A-team and Benedict Arnold Kirsch.
Wow. I was a bit surprised. Under fire, Fred.
I was a bit surprised when I saw that Vinny Testaverde signed with the Panthers. I thought he would have only signed with a contender. Also, with all these QBs going down, why hasn't Tampa reached out to anyone yet? Maybe they could trade the rights to Plummer instead of just wasting time holding on to him. And if they reached out to, who would it be?
Plummer's retired, right? And it wasn't because of Tampa. He was retired.
He retired before he went there. It's not going to happen. I mean, what are they going to get for Jake Plummer?
Nothing.
Unless
because it's not a holdout. It's a retire. It's a
right.
Unless there was a place where he had a former quarterback's coach he loved, somebody who could talk him into playing, then maybe somebody could do it. But he doesn't want to play.
Yeah. P.S. says, Craig, I'm ashamed to share the same name as that corn-fed hick from Carolina. Gary, for the love of God, don't let him ever come on this show again, or better yet, make him buy you guys lunch for every minute of airtime he takes up. A little bit more emailer on emailer crime there.
Nobody
can't
buys
get enough
us lunch
of that
anymore.
Can't get enough of that emailer on emailer crime. I love it.
Let's see. Callie Girl writes in.
Hey, hey.
She says, hey. Morning, guys. It's me again, Chelsea. Haven't heard the show yet today. Got to wait until you post it on the podcast.
Hey,
that
boy.
Process
How
could have been
doing?
Done a little faster, but I guess if the producer could at least be around, then there would be a lot more happening on time.
So this is from yesterday, then?
Anyways, I'm a homer myself, but even after last Monday's game, I'm still a little nervous about the game this weekend. I feel the Pats have all the tools to win, but every week we are undefeated, it gets a little more tense. Right now, I think that the Colts are the only team that can compete with us head-to-head. What are your opinions? And by the way, from the Urban Dictionary, Peckerwood is a white person that is trash.
So we're Peckerwoods.
Okay.
Speak for yourself.
Didn't get to hear any T.O. versus Moss talk. I just want you to know what you guys feel about having two big heads in the same stadium. Do you think that Moss has calmed down and got his dose of humble pie? I guess so.
Well, I think Moss is fully on board with everything here.
Yeah, I don't think there's been one problem.
Nothing.
With Moss.
And by the way, Gary, Chelsea wants to know where to send the food, so why don't you...
Chelsea, I love you.
And she signed it XOXO Chelsea.
Wow.
Send the food and a photo.
Yeah, absolutely.
How you doing?
All right.
Right in your face, Todd. Nova
She's State. Hot, too.
Oh. What?
I didn't know where you were going with
yeah,
that. Jeez.
What?
Lord.
Oh, my
I
God.
Know, I don't really know any other place that could have gone.
No,
the guy
geez.
Made fun of me for being fat.
That's not what we're talking about.
Let's see. Dan
That's what I was talking about.
Dan says he's living in Dallas right now. As a
wait, 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 wait. We didn't answer Chelsea.
What?
She said, first of all,
is there another
the Colts.
Team besides the Colts that can match up?
I think
with
Pittsburgh
it?
Could.
I still have Pittsburgh, yeah, in the conversation.
I don't.
And I think the scenario of the Pittsburgh game lends it to being more of a challenge because of that three-game stretch and Baltimore maybe having a chance to beat you up the previous week. But, yeah, those teams.
I love Baltimore, man.
They play physical.
Do they?
Yeah.
Why? Why do they not stop anybody then?
Well, there's a difference between playing physical and being good.
Why does
they might not be good anymore. I don't know.
Why does everybody they play, you know, after being physically whooped for three quarters, put up 20 points in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. Maybe they're not good.
That's what I think.
But there's a difference between physical and good.
No,
you can get beat up and still
they
win.
They used to be physical.
I don't think they're
you don't
physical
think they're physical
anymore.
At all anymore?
Oh, I think,
you don't
think
those guys can play?
I don't think Ray Lewis is anywhere near where he used to
well,
be.
Well, he no, tore not, his tricep, and I thought he was out for the year, and then he was back the next week. I don't
I'm,
know what
I'm
that
not,
was all about.
I'm not saying that they can't play like all of a sudden they're a lower echelon team. I'm just saying I don't think the days of them being this team that has this, you know, all-world defense that's going to come and you better make sure your helmets are strapped. I don't think they're any different than anybody else.
Mm, I think they're pretty physical.
I think they're a fringe playoff team at best.
But you're confusing me with thinking talent and production are related to physicality.
Well, I don't.
I just think they play a physical style. They're looking to hit you.
But
I think there's some teams that aren't as physical.
Well,
it has nothing to do with win games, go to playoffs, any of that. It's
I
just
agree.
The
I would
style.
I think there are some more finesse teams in the league, and Baltimore is not one of them. I just don't.
That's
think,
all I'm saying.
But I don't think it's any more physically taxing to play Baltimore than it is to play anybody else.
But
you know, I think Pittsburgh is certainly a physical defense.
Exactly.
But,
so if you put two together,
but if they're not,
see
any,
what I'm doing here?
In other words, if you.
In other words, I think they're going to beat Baltimore, but there could be a slight residual the following week in Pittsburgh that helps Pittsburgh a little.
So, will it more so than it would be if they had beaten the Jets the week before or Miami the week before?
Then Miami. I think the Jets are a somewhat physical football
now,
team.
I certainly could be guilty of underestimating Baltimore, as you know.
You've been underestimating them for 2 years now. When they went 13-3 last year, you thought they stunk.
First of all, I've been underestimating them for a long time, and I finally got proven somewhat wrong 1 year, last year.
We also said Steve McNair would have no effect on that team.
And I don't think he did.
I thought you already admitted that on the air.
But you know.
You pulled that one back.
I definitely.
You like that girl that sent the company email. I'd like to recall that email.
Right. I think that Steve McNair right now is a shell of his former
right.
self.
Right, no question.
And I think they're a better team with Kyle Bowler. I'm back on the Kyle Bowler bandwagon. How's that sound?
I am too, because you know where he went to school?
Cal.
More importantly, Heart High.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Silly me. I was going with his college.
Dan says he's living in Dallas right now.
Yes.
As a student, but originally from Mass.
What do you got for
Huge
us?
Huge Pats fan. Romo was overrated, and I'm tired of hearing Romo's sexual stupidest thing even. And I was so happy about his five picks the other day.
Can you take a breath between words? What did you just say?
We don't even understand what you're saying.
I'm reading it as he wrote it.
So he didn't use spaces. If there's a space, take a breath.
Started listening about a month ago to pass time during my boring desk job. Anyway, if you want good barbecue.
It's a ringing endorsement.
Sonny Bryant's is good, but Spring Creek is the way to go.
Now, do they have TVs?
I don't know. Clubhouse is one of the best gentlemen's club in the country.
Hey.
I think it was rated top five. They have any type you could want, $20 cover, $20 a dance, Clubhouse. Owned by Pantera, so it's always a good party. What's Pantera?
I don't know what that
is. Isn't it a band? I got the nod of approval from Gary. Was it Clubhouse? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Clubhouse and
Spring Creek
Spring
Barbecue.
Creek.
Now, so the other issue is we got to be within, you know, decent cab ride.
And we have to have TVs.
And TVs. That's true. TVs. Gary, you going to look those up?
You going to effort that? You probably won't be able to do the Clubhouse.
No, I'm on golferswarehouse.com. Sorry.
Speaking of which, I have gift certificates for there, too.
Oh, good.
I thought they went out of business.
Teddy 20s?
Oh, no. Chachi Hundos.
Let's see. Louie from Dallas. Oh, no, he's not from Dallas.
Dallas.
He's from Tampa.
Tampa.
He says, one quick question. Does Eric still work with you guys?
Sort of,
you say?
Not on Tuesdays.
Oh. Here's a little take your pick. One, Randy Moss or T.O.?
Randy Moss.
Moss.
Randy Moss, no question.
Adalys Thomas or DeMarcus Ware? Thomas. does more things.
As is? Like, do I get DeMarcus Ware year three and...
Totally different positions.
Right. But I also would like, you know, I could get another 10 years out of DeMarcus Ware. I might only get four out of Adelius Thomas.
I'll say Thomas, but that's two totally different positions. I think Thomas is better at his spot than...
Yeah, what's his spot,
than
though?
Ware is.
Some of us still think he's being wasted on the inside.
Tom Brady or Troy Aikman?
But I'm the stubborn
Tom
one.
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Tony Kornheiser or Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller.
Tony Kornheiser.
Oh, we got a split there.
I think Tony Kornheiser brings absolutely nothing to the table. I hate him.
What did Dennis Miller bring?
He tried. He was weird, and you probably liked him because he was trying to be cerebral and make weird references, but Tony Kornheiser is nothing.
The only thing I liked, it was the very first. What was his first game, Fred? Trivia question.
Dennis Miller's
first game.
Hall of Fame game.
Come on, guy.
Was it?
We were
apparently
there. We were there, the Hall of Fame game against San Francisco, also Bill Belichick's first game, and he brought out the old yellow ABC blazer. That was very funny.
Finally,
went
a
all
visit,
downhill from there for me.
A visit from the IRS or a call from Craig? let's see. Dave is
IRS.
Calling from the Philippines, where it's at least two or three at a time. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Hey, back when I lived over near you guys, I used to work for Don Law, and I worked a lot of concerts, and I worked Pantera. And if you ever have to pass a drug test for anything, you don't want to go anywhere near those guys.
So we probably shouldn't go to their club.
I've never heard of Pantera.
That club, you probably walk in there and you walk out and you'll fail everything for months.
So, but I don't have any tests coming up.
So Pantera, is that good a band that they could own a club or something?
I don't know how good you have to be to own a club. I don't think
or
it's
something.
That hard.
I've never heard of them.
I'm sure there's a lot of people you've never heard of that
like
own strip
shampoo.
Clubs.
I mean, I don't know.
No, but it's a shampoo.
But it's obviously some famous band that Fred and I seem to be the only two that have never heard of.
But my point is, Joe Schmo could own a strip club, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to be that big.
But we're talking about this band.
They didn't buy an NFL franchise.
But we're not talking. Forget the strip club. We're talking about the band
that
everybody else knows and we never heard of.
They're bigger than rap.
They were sort of a heavy metal type of act, and they filled most of Great Woods.
Are they hair band?
Most of Great Woods?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, 16,000-17,000 people came to see them, so that's not too
bad. I bet Michelle was there.
Yeah.
Our designer named Michelle.
I bet she
was there.
I bet we go upstairs and Michelle is laughing at me for not having ever heard of Pantera.
All right, what do you got, Dave?
Hey, yesterday you guys had another somebody email in from the Philippines who said they worked for a international broadcast sports network. They didn't mention the network, so I won't mention it either because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But that's the network that doesn't broadcast the NFL anymore. So you might send her an email back going, why are you guys doing that to our fans out there?
Yeah, we're big in the Philippines. Patriots have a lot of fans over there, I bet.
Yeah, well, I try and talk them up everywhere I go, and I'm not the only person running around wearing Patriots gear. I see it all the time. But unfortunately, you just can't see it on TV that often, because there's only two games a week that get broadcast here, and, so you got a 1 in 16 chance.
You could buy one of those sling box things and then tie it into one of your friends' cable in here in the U.S.
I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to check into
that. It's an internet thing where you can tie into your home cable box from anywhere in the country where you have anywhere in the world, I guess, where you have a high speed access. And I know it works pretty cool. I know Michael Felger uses it in the press box to watch Patriots games through his laptop using his home cable hookup.
Yeah, he's a big
fan.
Well,
that's interesting. I could probably get some relatives of mine over there to hook me up if I got the thing. I'll have to look into that. Thanks for the tip.
All right.
Okay.
So where's Tom today?
We have no idea.
We don't know.
Because I was reading, he was the guy that answered Ask PFW this week.
That's correct.
And this poor girl, she's trying to learn about football, and she wrote in and asked about why Mike Brady says this or that. And Tom didn't even bothered to tell her that his name's Tom Brady, not Mike Brady. And I feel sorry for her. I understand she's new to the sport and she doesn't know, but if you don't tell her, then she's just going to sound foolish if she talks to anybody about it.
I like young girls.
Good stuff.
I would have thought, the old Tom, before he got that mask, would have laid right into somebody like that.
That's what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say he spent a half hour ripping the person for calling him Mike Brady.
No, no, and that's what surprised me. It's like, you know, where's the old Tom?
Everything
now
is up.
He's not even there.
But you know
what? First his personality disappeared, now the rest of him's gone with it.
And everything is upside down. Fred's picking the Cowboys. I think the Patriots are going 16-0. I don't know what's going on in this world these days. And I'm doing,
all right.
What do they call those for sling bumps?
Commercial.
Live reads.
This would be Pantera.
Now I know why I never heard of him.
All right, Dave from Philippines. Thanks for calling in. I wonder, did he do that with Skype?
No. He said he just calls. Remember,
oh, by
I
the
asked
way,
him.
Comcast, they just switched over to that.
Do you know what Skype is?
S-K-Y-P-E.
Yeah, so it's like $45 unlimited for forever.
With only one single little flaw.
What?
When the power goes out, you don't have phone.
No. There is a 14-hour backup, battery backup.
Not on Andy's.
You didn't get that, huh?
I'm not rich.
Supposedly, there's a 14-hour battery backup.
Not mine.
Oh.
When the power goes out, I use my cell phone.
Okay. I need you to do me a favor, Fred.
What?
I need you to make a proclamation to the staff of PFW.
Yes.
To please start editing the questions on Ask PFW, and don't just run them as they come in. Please edit them. So when someone writes in Mike Brady, we change it. You know, so we don't just run, you know, run
well, you're
run
talking
the mistakes.
To yourself. You're the guy.
No, I exactly. I've all talked right to myself for about the past year and a half, and obviously I'm not doing a very good job.
Oh, you mean they're not listening to you,
right,
these guys?
I think it's one person.
So I would like
mine
to make that clear.
So you want me to crack the whip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good at that. I can crack the whip.
Don't ever say that again, or I'm going to stick this inside.
I could crack the whip.
Let's see.
Really sounded
that's
like
funny
it
man talk.
Dave O from Cambridge says, after watching Romo's performance Monday night, I have never been more sure about one thing. The Pats are going to crush the Cowboys Sunday afternoon. Crush them. It's not even going to be close. At least a 2-touchdown win. If you look at Romo last season, there's a definite pattern. He starts out strong, gets carried away with himself, and then it happens. He starts choking. What you witnessed last night was the beginning of Romo's downward slide. He threw 5 picks against one of the worst teams in the AFC. If Dallas was in the AFC, they would be 2-3, if that. Count on it. Pats 42, Cowboys 21.
That right there is what I was looking for from Fred Kirsch on Tuesday.
Right.
That's what I wanted you spewing. That's what the old Fred would have been spinning.
But I don't think that. I think Romo's pretty good from what I've seen.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
There are certain things you count on in life. And Fred Kirsch being a homer and spewing that kind of stuff.
I think if there's one thing you've learned from the Belichick regime and from me is you can't count on anything.
Well, the one thing I've gotten
with you, there is
from Belichick, in all seriousness, the game means nothing. The previous game means nothing. There's nothing to be gleaned from the fact that he struggled badly Monday night. If he struggles again Sunday against the Patriots, Monday had nothing to do with it. Each game, how does he put it? You know, each game's its separate entity. I mean, he has that boring little thing that he does by rote, but he's right, and everybody does it. Well, he looked so bad against Buffalo the other night, so that means the Patriots going to kill him. No, it doesn't.
Joey in Valrico, Florida. If you're coaching
that
a team,
Joey Feep?
What's that? No, I don't think so. If you were coaching a team against the Patriots, would you double team Randy Moss or single him, knowing that he's probably going to burn you once or twice? It just seems to me that Randy's production is about the same whether he's singled or doubled. What do you guys think?
I think you double him.
Yeah.
And I don't think the production's been the same, singled or doubled.
Okay. Steve from Montana, I think the NFL should have leave the timeout rule alone. Just let a few of those calls backfire on the coach who calls them, and the current craze will die. Right now, the coaches who have resorted to that tactic have looked like smart strategists. How foolish is a coach going to look when he's called a timeout and the kicker misses, or even better, his team blocks the field goal and scores, then the other team gets a second chance and wins the game? Keep it up, Pecker Woods.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen sooner or later if
I
people
think
keep
it has
doing it.
I mean, it hasn't happened with the game on the line.
But that's
happened,
what I mean. It's going to happen with the game on the line.
But it's not going to discourage anybody from doing it until they change the rule.
Sean from Marlboro, New Hampshire says, have faith, Paul. If a timeout makes Indy kick another field goal, then Polian will get the rule changed. He's the one who seems to have great luck having rules enforced or changed.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's all it'll need to have. Speaking of which, you know, as well as they've played, they have major, major special teams concerns. They had another extra point blocked this week.
Oh, boy.
They can't execute a kick.
Go.
Have you seen any of these things?
Yes.
They have guy. They have like eight guys in the backfield every time they try to kick the ball. It's unbelievable. And they don't cover kicks well either.
It's not what Fred's going to blame it on.
Well, I know that.
Well, I should say, that's not what the old Fred would blame it on. I don't know what the new Fred will say.
This is the same guy who laughed when he learned about Deion Branch's injury, even though I know he doesn't root for guys to get hurt.
Rich from Howell, New Jersey says, what if each team has to designate a kicker at the start of the game? When the kicker comes into the game, he reports to the ref, just like Vrabel does to say he's a receiver. Once he reports in, the defense cannot call timeout after the play clock gets to 2 or 3 seconds. The offense can still call timeout. Don't like the rule.
I think it's pretty simple. Just when they line up, center gets down, hands over the ball, that's it. Too late.
Just on kicks.
If you want to call a timeout to ice the kick, ice the kicker, I'm sorry, then call it. You don't have to wait for, you know, he already kicks the ball. You can do that before the ball is snapped.
Okay. Let's see. This is Dave in the Philippines.
We just talked to him.
Oh, it is? Is that the same Dave? Okay. I'll just skip it then.
How many Daves in the Philippines do you think we have?
That email this show.
Dan.
Such an idiot.
Dan is from Dallas. He says,
yes.
There's a place called Champs Good Sports Bar. Good food, just about 3 minutes from Texas Stadium. The clubhouse is also a minute from Texas Stadium.
Champs Good Sports Bar?
That's what it says. Champs
and
Good
the clubhouse bar. Is what I already
oh,
have.
Maybe he
Champs,
means,
is that the like the
oh, yeah.
The
I think,
chain?
I think because of his punctuation, I think he means there's a place called Champs. It's a good sports bar.
So
with
it's,
good food.
Is it just
Champs?
We like Champs.
It's probably that.
Now, is that the one
place?
With two? Isn't it with two M's or two
P's or something?
There's one of those in Florida that we went to.
Yeah, next to the Hooters.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
You like that meal.
I did, and they actually had very good wings, if you remember correctly.
Okay.
And good desserts. Remember, huge desserts.
Yeah, you ate it. Yeah.
That's generally what you do with food when they bring it.
Let's see. Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. When it comes to coaches' challenges this year, I have a hard time understanding a couple things.
Why the Patriots are over?
What the hell is wrong with the staff when it comes to throwing the flag? Last week during the Browns game, I know that the game was well in hand. However, when Anderson clearly fumbled the ball and it was called an incomplete pass, why didn't Bill throw the flag? To me, it was immediately apparent that he had fumbled it without the benefit of replay. And when the Pats have a play which could be potentially red flag, what takes them so long to set up and hike the ball? The Cincinnati game, for example, when Morris had his impressive run and lost it near the goal line, I'm tired of screaming at the coaching staff and having it fall on deaf ears.
I disagree. I think that's one thing they do as well as anyone is rush to the line of scrimmage and get the playoff.
Absolutely. And I don't know who's Anderson and what catch?
No, that's the one where
catch and a fumble?
Remember the tuck rule? They didn't call it a fumble, and you said, oh, it's Walt Coleman. That's a tuck rule?
No, it wasn't a tuck rule. It was clearly an incomplete pass, and that's what they ruled. Well,
he called it an incomplete pass, but his arm never went forward.
Yeah,
he went like this.
He went just like this.
No, that
it was underhand.
There was another play. There was another play then.
That was the play.
No, that was the play. I think you're right. That was the play, and he threw it forward.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
And they
okay, because that was an incomplete pass.
And they challenged.
He definitely. No, we're talking about a different play.
I don't know any other play in the game.
Yeah, no, there was
the
one.
Only one this year that I thought that they had a beef on. Was the play where Trent Edwards against Buffalo ran along the back line of the end zone. That was really, really close. I don't think there was a definitive angle that you could tell, but if you ask me, it's kind of like the Ben Watson play in Denver. If you're asking me if I think that it probably went through the end zone in that case, that he stepped, I say
but
yeah.
But you can't.
But there's nothing definitive that
says
he
did. No,
there
wasn't. But then they said after the replay was over, then they found an angle that showed that he didn't step out of bounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well...
But they didn't have that to go by. That wasn't in the factor of the rule.
Well, that's a problem.
Well, how did they find it then?
It was afterward. Well, they didn't show it on TV. Maybe the refs
saw it. I was going to say that. Yeah. Just because they didn't show it on TV.
No, they didn't show it on TV till after the ruling was over.
Yeah, I have no problem with the Patriots.
They are over, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Have they challenged something that they didn't win? I don't know.
I think they have. Everything they've challenged, they've lost so far.
Yeah, I think they're 0-4.
3. I don't know. Anyway.
I know they had those two in Buffalo and then this one in Cleveland against Cleveland.
I thought they had another one, too. And I jokingly said Ernie Adams is on the way out.
But I don't think that the Patriots' track record over the years is in question. They have a
remarkable Well, I think that's why people are wondering. They have a little streak here of offers. Why is it going the other way, but they've all been pretty. I don't think they've gotten screwed yet.
No, God, no.
Let's see. Todd from Rochester. Now that we know the Pats will be 5-1 after Dallas, according to Fred, where do you feel the road to the Super Bowl will lead through for AFC teams? Indy, Pittsburgh, or will the Patriots be able to rebound and have home field in the end by beating the Colts on the road?
Yes.
Never too early to think about it.
Home field will be Gillette Stadium.
I'm counting on that.
Yes, that's correct, Andy. The Patriots' home field is Gillette Stadium.
I mean, in the playoffs, you nincompoop.
Yeah, home field will be Gillette Stadium.
So that means we'll have that AFC Championship game party in the club.
Yeah.
That's good.
And we won't be going again.
I went.
Oh, I didn't.
Why didn't you go, Paul?
Because he's everything but Patriots.com, no, Paul Perillo.
No, it was because we found out about it 15 minutes before it started.
We were given the invitation at 4:45. No, we got hosed. After marketing gave out every possible ticket they could to everybody they knew, they said, oh, does PFW think they should go?
I know what you're trying to do here, but you are the one who called me and apologized because we found out at 6 o'clock that night.
We got hosed
that we could go. Even you can't really.
So then why did you go?
Because I was already home.
Oh. Oh, you should have still come. You weren't living in Peabody at the time.
No, I was living in Everett at the time.
Yeah, so that's
actually,
not a fun,
I was living in Peabody at the
were
time.
Were you?
Yeah. But what's the difference?
Right.
It was a good party.
First of all, it's really not that good
it's
of a party.
It's really not
here
that
it
good
was.
Of a party. No, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
Free pins and keychains.
It was Joe Average.
Not for us.
Joe Average?
It was just, they're all the same. They're a dime a dozen.
I forget, you're rich, so you have parties that have all these food stations all
no,
the time.
No, I've been to cool parties because they're
right.
Super Bowl.
See, right, that one, write this one to the one we went to Indy a couple years ago.
They're all the same. I think they're all
please,
the similar.
Gary, help me out here.
Last year, you mean? The one in Indy last year?
I wasn't at the one here.
Oh, they did have white chocolate fountain at Indy, didn't they?
I didn't think that anything was special. This has nothing to do with
they're
it.
All the same.
They're all the same to me.
It's the same party, just
good.
A different
this was
room.
Bigger, and it had sushi stations. It had
I don't like sushi.
I like sushi.
Have you ever had it?
Friend.
You
why,
know you've never
why
had
why must you always I don't like seafood. Why must you always just assume I've never had it?
I know you've never had sushi.
He's not assuming. He knows.
Have you ever had sushi, Paul?
Yes, I've had it.
When have you had it?
In New Orleans.
Really?
Super Bowl.
You don't have sushi.
31.
You don't have sushi in New Orleans.
I mean, it cannot be cooked anywhere. Am I right on?
I thought the best
cook sushi. Anyway.
Exactly.
That's what he just said.
Is that a crawfish hand roll?
I thought the best one was the New Orleans one of those parties. Whatever, wherever that one, Pittsburgh. Was that Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh?
In the hotel? Yeah, in the Pittsburgh hotel.
See, that to me
thought
was,
it was
the best
better
one,
than
but
the
that's,
Pittsburgh
that's the first one I've been to. So to me, that, you know, that was the,
in terms
it was all
of,
new for me.
Oh, the one we had in Pittsburgh.
The
yeah,
first
that was
one.
A good one.
In terms of these parties overall, though.
You went bonkers.
The one.
First of all, we didn't all go bonkers. Shane went bonkers.
The one in the aquarium in
Houston
was
the
best party.
But that was a Super Bowl. That was
I'm just saying, of these parties, that was a you're making fun of me. That was a great party.
That was
I thought
Super
that was
Bowl,
fun.
That was the Super Bowl media
that was
party. That
great.
Was a different thing.
That was great. The parties here,
people would definitely say that. I don't need the bells and whistles. The fancy food to me, I don't really like it, so
right.
I don't get it. The only thing I get out of it is the free booze. Which is always excellent.
Oh, did you see Miller Lite and Coors Light?
They're going to merge.
Merging.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if they get rid of Miller Lite? Wow, deafening silence.
I don't know.
Paul.
I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
I've told you a million times.
Crashing down.
All yellow beers taste exactly the same.
We were going to go drink.
Oh, that's not true, Paul.
Well, that's how I feel about it. I'm not a beer connoisseur.
Neither is Fred. We learned this.
What do you got on tap?
He gets something fancy the first beer, and then a Miller Lite.
But he doesn't get anything fancy. He
right, that's
asks
true. He asks,
it.
And then
they
takes Amstel.
They give him 27 different things, and then he orders a Killian's Red.
Right.
Then the next one, he goes, "I'll have Miller Lite."
Why don't you ever get something creative if you're such a connoisseur?
Because when I'm eating like that, I don't want to get too filled up.
Is that a rule?
It really fills you up.
Because I'm not a big fan of actually drinking a beer while I'm eating.
Well, light beer is okay. It doesn't fill you up.
Did you drink those things we got from Anthony in Florida?
I haven't yet, no.
What are you waiting for?
I just haven't had a chance. I don't drink every night like you.
You haven't had any of yours.
No, but there's a difference.
Yeah, you took the good stuff, and you gave me a couple cans of beer.
That's the first time we've ever said what it actually was. Gary has the good stuff.
Oh, yeah?
He took the fancy, well, I guess we can say it now, tequila.
Oh, he didn't put in what I requested, though, right?
No, you asked for a $38,000 bottle.
Most expensive alcohol in the world.
Oh. You buffoon.
Dan in Fairfax, Pantera was a heavy metal band along the lines of older Metallica, not a hair band. A Pantera is a sports car, not a shampoo. I think you were thinking of Pantene.
Oh, yeah, Pantene.
Close enough.
I agree.
Isn't Pantera that band that had the guy shot to death on a stage in? What? Really?
Is that true, Gary?
On a stage in?
Yeah, I felt like there was more to that. Stage in some place?
Budapest?
Bangkok?
Let's see. Shannon says, let's be honest, the true matchup that no one is talking about this weekend is between the quarterbacks with the two hottest girlfriends in the NFL, Giselle versus Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, eh. Just okay.
Let's break this pivotal matchup down. Giselle has amazing legs, gorgeous supermodel, has amazing legs, gorgeous supermodel. Let's face it, she's a 10. But
I think Carrie Underwood has better legs.
She has been violated by a baker's dozen of Hollywood actors.
Wow.
Carrie, gorgeous country girl, hot as the Dickens, great career, more than likely has a blonde runway strip, would probably just be fine with grilled chicken, potatoes, and a beer or four.
Jeez.
What's your choice, guys?
My goodness.
I'll take Giselle.
She has a plane?
Yeah. Why is the runway yellow?
I got to tell you, I'm not as enamored with Giselle as everybody else is. Now, I don't think Carrie Underwood
is. I think there's better Victoria models than her.
I really do. I think you're talking about a whole different class when you're talking Carrie Underwood and Giselle. But
right.
I'm not.
Was it Carrie Underwood on the American Idol?
Yeah. Three years ago, she was nobody, or 4 years ago, she was nobody.
Well, and before that, Giselle was a model, she was nobody, too.
Yeah, but the thing that made her somebody was how hot she is.
Let's see.
We're in a game of hotness here.
I think
here.
You can make an argument for the American Idol thing.
She has great legs. I think she has better legs than Giselle. You ever see that that live performance? Ooh, her legs are phenomenal.
Dwayne says, Testaverde to the Panthers. Are you freaking kidding me? Why not Drew Bledsoe? There's no other quarterback available than Vinny Testaverde. When will he just stay home and collect his Social Security like other senior citizens?
They turned on him quick.
Can you imagine if he was on the Patriots right now?
I guess no one is going to break the consecutive TD record now. Question, why are people now considering taking away the coach's ability to call timeouts on the sideline?
I don't want to do that.
Wasn't the competitive advantage argument the same one that was used against the rule before they changed the rule a couple years ago? It seems to me that if the competition committee changes the rule back to the way it was, it's admitting a mistake.
I'm not advocating taking away the coach's ability to call timeout from the sideline. I don't think it's right that they get to make the kicker kick the ball twice on a play. I don't think that's what the rule is meant for, and that's what it's resulted in.
And I don't have a problem with them admitting a mistake. If they make a rule that's a bad rule and realize it's a bad rule, then fix it. Don't just say, well, we can't change it again. We'll look stupid.
Exactly.
Fix it. Get it right.
John is in Rhode Island. John, how you doing?
Excellent, Paul.
And Fred.
That was Fred.
And you're in mom's basement again.
Oh, it's John Rook from Rhode Island.
You should know, your fellow Homer's voice.
Well, all of a sudden do we get the Homer tag, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
It's not all of a sudden.
Since this is no
just, you've been Homers for years.
Just so you know, this is not a new development.
No! Oh, okay. All right. So you're telling me then you've been basically talking behind my back for years. Is
no,
that it?
No, on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Right. Lots of people hear it, just not you.
That's also true.
Well, just so you know, John, Andy and I do predict the Patriots to go 16-0, but we're not homers.
We just look at it objectively.
Hey, John, while you're in the line, we were talking a little early about Kevin Faulk, and Brian from Mansfield says that Mike Reese reported at noon that, quote, elsewhere running back Kevin Faulk, who injured his right leg in the second quarter of Sunday's win and did not return, said he avoided a serious injury. I had a little scare, he said. I'm good. Healthy enough to play, so that's what it will be. So
that's obviously a comfort. He's been kind of an enigma anyway, but then again, that's the kind of role that he's fulfilled, basically since he's been with the Patriots. So I mean, unless you were able to see him actually walking around in the locker room or hobbling around the locker room, who would have known that?
Right.
Nobody really. So what were we talking about? Changing the timeout rule?
Yeah, Paul is upset because of the way people are using that timeout rule.
I think the rule is being abused.
I actually agree with you. But then again, I mean, I don't know how you change it. I mean, if you have timeouts, banked, you should be able to use it at any time you want to use it. And if that means if you want to save your timeouts for three in a row right at the end of the game to keep trying to ice a kicker, that's always been done. So I don't know why all of a sudden, though, we're having such a problem with kickers getting iced just because a couple of guys have actually missed them. Yeah, I thought that was the whole point.
Well, I think that there's a difference between icing the kicker and then forcing him to kick it twice. And I think they're intentionally forcing him to kick it twice, and I think that's
well,
unfair.
I think they kick it twice because the whistle is slow to blow. Honestly, you have to call the timeout before the ball is snapped, otherwise it's not a timeout.
Yeah, and I think you can make an argument of whether or not they're getting the timeout before the ball is snapped. And
could make that argument.
I think
you have to look at that.
Right,
but I think that
no referee is going to not grant the timeout to the coach that is standing next to him.
Maybe you just adjust the rule and say, have to call the timeout before the team gets to the line of scrimmage.
Well, once you get to the point where they get down and set, the line is set, timeout. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, you know what? That probably wouldn't be a bad rule. You have to have it done before everybody's set. Otherwise, the referee has the right to disallow the timeout. I suppose you could do that. But then again, a timeout is a timeout. So, that's – you're talking about then, that's something the competition committee is going to have to take a good hard look at. But,
And I don't think they'll change it either. I think they'll
no,
stick
I don't
with
either.
It because I think they think this works, and I don't. But, what are you going
to
do?
It just so happens you've had a couple of guys have to kick field goals, forced to kick field goals again, and two of them have missed this year.
Yeah,
with the exception of this last Monday.
The Dallas guy made it twice, but I just, like I said, I don't think it's an easy thing to kick a ball 53 yards. And I think that you're asking him to do it twice, and I think that you're intentionally doing it that way. You want exactly the way it's played out the three times it's happened. That's the way they wanted it to play out. They wanted to physically make him do it twice. And I don't think that's the only sport that you can do it in. It's the only time of the game that you can do it. In basketball, you can't make a guy shoot the free throw twice. You have to call timeout before the ball gets in his hands. I just think it's unfair. Look, they're going to keep it the way they want it because they're, I think, quite frankly, they're arrogant, and I think they think they have the smarter way to do everything.
The problem is you're making an exception for that one play.
And I have no problem with that. That's the problem with the NFL, is they think everything has to be exactly the same. Oh, you can't do this because the tuck rule, when everybody on the planet knows that Tom Brady wasn't trying to throw the ball.
Absolutely.
It's everything has to be black and white
Don't
in that
there,
rule
Paul.
Book, and it's dumb.
No,
right.
It's true.
All
it's right. true. I agree.
Okay, John, well, you're up next with Patriots Playbook.
If you insist.
Okay, and we will see you tomorrow on Thursday here in PFW in Progress. We'll see you then. PFW.